Retu Audio presents Reclamation, The Keepers of Hell Book 5, written by Danielle James, read to you by Miles Taylor. Then, Lucas wiped the sweat from his brow. This godforsaken jungle was so freaking hot during the day. At night it was freezing. It was a miracle that he hadn't gotten sick yet from the bipolar weather alone, not to mention any number of diseases that, if he were human, he wouldn't be immune to. Satisfied that everything was safe, he allowed himself to relax. His relief was climbing the stand, and he was going to be off duty for a solid 12 hours. He wanted to go ahead and pack up his rifle, but he couldn't. Not until the next man was set up and on watch. Lucas had always wanted to be a military man. He could always remember when he was very young, dressing up in his father's uniform. It was miles too big for him, and his mother had just smiled and told him he looked just like his dad. That compliment made his chest puff out with pride. As he grew older, he had kept himself in top condition. He worked hard at his grades in school, and finally, it was the Marines that gave him a home. It wasn't hard to get in. Wares had skills that humans did not, and any that wanted their turn in the armed forces were usually given a shot. Lucas had soared through basic training and did his duty on the ground. When his CO discovered what an accurate shot Lucas was with any gun, the sniper training had begun. Lucas was now stuck in the jungle, in a tree, watching over his platoon. He had become the master of invisibility, and his aim had only improved over time. Lucas never pulled the trigger unless he was certain of his target, and he never missed. What would his father think of him now if he were alive? Lucas had killed more men than he cared to admit, even to himself. He followed his orders to the letter, but the loss of life at his hands weighed heavily on his soul. His father had been a career soldier, but as far as Lucas knew, the man never had to kill. Killing was something Lucas did very well.
"Ready to get some shut-eye?" his relief Tex asked him. "Those baby blues are red."
"Yeah," Lucas answered. He disassembled his gun and packed it neatly away in its case before descending to the rest of his platoon, where he could get some rest.
"Hey, baby blues!" Carl called to him.
Lucas hated his nickname, but what was he to do? His tribe had named him for the color of his eyes, and it stuck. It wasn't like they were anything special. All werewolves had icy blue eyes.
"Morning, guys," Lucas waved to them.
"Hey, we're gonna get us a drink this morning," Carl yelled to him. "Why don't you join us?"
Lucas shrugged. Why not? He was off duty.
"Sure," he said,
and followed the five men that had become his brothers into a tent. They called it the club, a place where there was music and alcohol. Both were necessities to get through each and every day. After several drinks, the men stumbled out of the tent laughing and singing. This was the only redeeming thing about this whole war, Lucas thought. The relationship he had with his brothers in arms. They were close, and they would all lay down their lives for the others. They were approaching their sleeping quarters when Lucas felt the hair on the back of his neck stand up. His eyes immediately searched out the stand where Tex was keeping guard. He couldn't see the soldier, but something told Lucas there was something about to go down. He raised his hand slightly, only as high as his chest, and signaled to the stand, hoping Tex would see it.
"Hey, baby blues," one of the men slurred. "What's got your panties in a bunch?"
"Shh," Lucas commanded. Immediately the men sobered and began searching their surroundings with their eyes.
"Could be nothing," Lucas admitted quietly.
"Or," Carl whispered, "it's your spidey sense telling you something."
Lucas nodded and gave the signal for them to keep moving. And then it happened. Lucas heard a thunk near his feet. He looked down to see a live grenade, pin removed, only 3 feet from him and his men.
"Run!" Carl shouted.
Lucas knew they would never make it far enough away in time. A grenade allowed for 30 seconds at best, and time was wasting. He watched as his brothers scattered, and knew they wouldn't make it. He made the decision that would forever change his life. If anyone had a chance here, it was him. He turned toward the grenade and threw his body on top of it. Lucas could hear the voices around him. Doctors, nurses, and his family as well. He could hear his sister sobbing right beside him, but he couldn't speak to tell her it was okay. There was something rather large in his throat, and Lucas couldn't talk past it even if he had the strength to try. God, he hurt, from head to toe.
His arms and legs felt like they were on fire. His head pounded to the beat of an invisible drum, and the light was so bright, even through his closed lids. "He won't be able to shift," the doctor told his sister. "If he could bear the pain, it wouldn't do any good. Even shifter magic can't regrow limbs." What? Regrow limbs? Lucas could easily feel that his arms and legs were in pain. Therefore, they did not need regrowing. Just let him shift. He could heal his injuries. Lucas pulled on his inner magic and tried to do just that. White hot pain exploded throughout his body. He felt his back bow off the bed, and he opened his mouth to scream, but nothing came out. "Damn, stop him!" a man's voice shouted. "Ativan, now!" Lucas felt the medication entering his body. His fast metabolism would burn it off in a matter of minutes, but for the moment he felt calm. "Lucas, I don't know if you can hear me," a man said, "but I am the doctor who operated on you. You can't shift. Your body won't be able to handle it. What's left of it anyway? You have lost your legs and your arms in the blast. Your eyes were injured as well. I believe you have lost your sight. Your insides were turned to mush, and it was all I could do to stop the bleeding. You have to be patient and let your body heal." Lucas groaned in his own mind. He could hear the doctor clearly, but he must have been mistaken. He could feel his arms and legs, and they hurt like hell. Phantom pain. The words rumbled around in his mind. He had read about it. People who lost limbs claimed to be able to still feel them, to be able to feel pain in the limb they lost. Did that doctor just say that Lucas had lost his arms and his legs and his eyes? He wanted to scream out in frustration, but he had no voice. He couldn't see anything but the back of his eyelids, and he couldn't force his eyes to open. He couldn't be blind, could he? He sure as hell couldn't see anything. No arms, no legs, no eyes. What was the point of living now? Lucas lost track of time. At first he kept the time by the clock, but eventually, even that was becoming unreliable. He could hear the steady beep and swish of the ventilator that breathed life into his body. He could hear the heart monitors that reminded him that he was still alive. He could smell the sharp tang of antiseptics in the air. How long had he been like this? How much longer could he bear? His arms and legs were no longer a part of his anatomy. That didn't stop the phantom pain from fucking with him, though. He had listened to conversations between his family and the doctors, and he knew that his situation was dire. If they removed the life support, his body would die. Not that there was much left of him, but still, his family was adamant that given enough time, Lucas's body would heal itself enough to remove the ventilator. Lucas wasn't so sure. They had been giving him some kind of drug that would not allow his body to shift into his wolf. Lucas was losing large chunks of time, and he knew that his body was not healing. It was failing. He was dying. His family had held on to hope, though, and then she came to visit. Lucas could hear her words through the veil that kept him away from the world, and it brought him peace. Just the sound of her voice invoked serenity and calm. Love. She sounded like what unconditional love would sound like to him. She smelled like flowers and sunshine. She introduced herself as a patient advocate and didn't hold back when she told his family he was in constant pain and that he would be miserable in any kind of life he would have now. He was a Marine, for God's sake. How could he ever adjust to being a paraplegic? He couldn't. She reminded them that his constant grimace was one of pain, and the thrashing he did with his head was not some form of Morse code, but in fact, his agony presenting itself to the world. Lucas knew exactly what she had been talking about. He could move his head, sort of. He could push with his shoulders and move a little. Several times his body had shook violently with the pain he endured, and he had begun to wish for death in order to make it stop. The one time Lucas thought he almost caught a glimpse of the woman, all he made out through his eyelids was a bright outline of wings and a petite person. He was convinced she was an angel come to his rescue. Days, weeks, months, years. Lucas had no idea how long he had been suffering in this never-ending hell. If he could have talked, he would have told the doctors to pull the damn plug. If he had arms or legs, he could move. He would have had some form of communication. He couldn't control his eyes, which he had heard someone say were milky white now, when they used to be a brilliant blue. It wasn't that he couldn't open them. It was that he was completely blind. His eyes danced wildly in his head with no rhyme or reason, constantly searching for something he could focus on. It never came. No one around him knew whether his consciousness was there or not. He didn't know himself half the time. His mind wandered aimlessly between being awake and being trapped in a fucked-up dream, and he couldn't always distinguish which was which. He had known his end was going to be a bad one, but he had never imagined living in the prison of his own body. He was a shell, an empty shell that bore nothing but pain. Then, blessedly, it happened. The angelic voice finally convinced his family to let him go. They were going to cut off the life support. A part of Lucas jumped for joy at an end to his suffering, and another part was scared shitless. He had taken a lot of lives. As the doctor moved near his bed, Lucas sent up a quick prayer. He hadn't been to church since he was a child, but as the priest began giving his last rites, Lucas thought it was worth a try. The monitors went silent. He could hear the soft crying of his sister and his parents, but he knew this was for the best. They would remember him as he was, before this happened. Knowing they all had each other gave him some measure of peace. He knew he need not worry for them now. Lucas could feel his chest moving up and down for another minute, and then it stopped. His heart thundered in his chest, but no one would know it because the monitors had been turned off. His brain rejected the lack of oxygen. Maybe this hadn't been such a good idea after all. "I want to live," he shouted in his mind, as the panic set in. But of course, no one would hear him. As he slowly suffocated, the only thing that brought him comfort was the fact that it would all be over soon. As his heart beat for the last time, Lucas prayed, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Now." Who knew the light at the end of the tunnel was real? Lucas thought, as his body spiraled toward it, out of control. Lucas had no way to slow down, and definitely no way to stop it. His body morphed to his wolf and back to human again, so many times that he lost count. His wolf howled, and Lucas shouted at the same time. As the tunnel got shorter and the light got brighter, Lucas began to feel a bit of peace. That is, until he got close enough to see that the light was coming from a wall of flames. Well, shit. The tunnel dumped Lucas unceremoniously onto a solid floor, and he landed with an oomph. He shook his head and saw that he was sitting on the floor of a cave, or something like it, all except the wall of fire he was facing. There was no fire in heaven, was there? No, this wasn't heaven. Lucas knew he was hellbound, but some part of him wished otherwise. Where else would one go who had taken the lives of so many? "I don't think I'll ever get tired of watching that," a man's voice said. Lucas turned his head to see a huge brick wall of a man standing to his left. His hair was dark and cut short, his hands on his hips, and a pair of huge black wings rested at his back. "Maybe you could switch back to your human form so we can talk," the man suggested. It was at that point that Lucas realized he was the wolf. He turned his head back and forth, noticing that he had instinctively backed himself into a corner. There was nowhere to go. Lucas crouched down and raised his hackle as a low growl reverberated up from his chest. He didn't know who this man was, but he was menacing as fuck, and his wolf was wary. The man raised an eyebrow at Lucas's growl, and instead of backing off, he stepped forward. His eyes, which were blue, changed in front of Lucas. They went from serene to blazing hot red. They were the things nightmares were made of. They glowed red like rubies and spoke of power beyond anything Lucas could comprehend. "I am the Alpha here," the man growled. "Human now, please." Lucas's wolf bowed its head in acknowledgement of the Alpha standing before him, and then he pulled his magic to shift back to his human form. "Before you go making any assumptions, I am not a demon," the winged man said. "I have an offer for you." Of course he did. "Demons make deals," Lucas said, rising to his feet. Feet? Whoa, he had his feet back. After doing a quick inspection, he realized that he had all of his limbs, and his voice. How the fuck did that happen? A little part of Lucas did a happy dance in his head. He was whole again. Arms, legs, a voice, and his wolf. He was whole, and he was pretty sure he was in hell. Damned if that didn't deflate his party pretty fucking quickly. He guessed he hadn't asked for that forgiveness fast enough. "Yes, the spirit is free of the body's imperfections," the man said impatiently as if he had read Lucas's mind. His eyes had returned to the serene blue they had been before, but Lucas was still wary of him. "Now, back to the offer. I need someone to work for me, as a member of my elite guard, to help keep the peace around here and to help keep everyone safe. We have a situation at hand that we could use someone like you for." "Who are you?" Lucas asked him. "I lead hell now. Quick history lesson. Lucifer is no more, and neither is his son. I'm in charge, and I do things differently. Now, are you in or out?" Lucas shook his head. Could this guy be any more vague? "In or out of what?" The man rolled his eyes. "Do you want to work for me or not?" He was getting impatient, and it was evident in the tone of his voice. "What if I don't?" Lucas asked him. Why should he work for a demon? And why was the guy being so nonspecific? "I am not a demon. Angel. Wings. Come on now," the man said with exasperation. "And if you don't want to, that's fine. You will go on to your eternity." "Which is?" Lucas wondered aloud. The angel shrugged. "I don't know that. I don't want to know. I don't want to influence your decision in any way. It must be your choice by free will." Lucas had a choice on his hands. Did he agree and work for this angel? Did he risk not doing it? "What if I do it and change my mind?" he asked. "You always were a sharp one," the angel said with a half-smile. "You can go whenever you want. Your eternity will wait for you to get there." Lucas didn't really see where he had a choice in the matter. He knew he would burn for the lives he took if he didn't agree. The job couldn't possibly be worse than being trapped in his own body, and he had made it through that. Burning in hell for all eternity, though, that was probably infinitely worse than the hell he had already endured. He took a deep breath and nodded. "I'll do it," he said quietly, hoping he wasn't making a mistake. The angel grinned, and his eyes softened. "Great!" He held out his hand, and Lucas took it. They shook while staring at each other. "My name is Ash. Welcome to hell." Chapter 1. River Styx was sitting on the balcony of her castle, in the hills of Scotland, enjoying the view and sipping her tea when she felt it. Something stirred within her body, and she knew that something big had happened. She had felt it months before, but she ignored it then, and she was going to ignore it now. She raised her dainty cup to her lips and sipped the hot Earl Grey slowly and deliberately. A nagging feeling in her chest made her want to explore the situation further, but she refused. Her father had banished her. This wasn't her fight anymore. She hated that she was still connected to the place. If only she had been able to cut those ties when she left hell, she would truly be free. A sharp stab in her stomach made her wince in pain, and all that did was piss her off. She stood from her chair and began to pace the length of her balcony. She had a nagging feeling that not only was hell calling to her, but that she was needed. She snorted on that one. They should have thought about that before banishing her to Earth. She didn't have a dog in this fight anymore. Whatever they had done or gotten into was their problem, not hers. River had made a pretty good life for herself on Earth, and she had no intention of leaving her cozy castle in the hills. But she was curious. Whatever had happened was huge, bigger than anything she had ever felt before. A smile curled at the corners of her mouth. Maybe she would just investigate a little bit, just to see what was going on. Hell, she might even sit on the sidelines and laugh. River closed her eyes and did something she hadn't done in a century. She concentrated on her old home. Hell had been her home for many years before she had been banished. It was as simple as recalling a memory for her. She looked with her mind's eye, and what she saw yanked the smile right off her face. Her mind filled with fury, and she pulled on the power that she hadn't used in 100 years to flash herself back to hell. Back home, it was time she had a talk with dear old Dad. "Since we're already out of the office, how about I give you the tour first?" Ash asked Lucas without turning around for an answer. Lucas shrugged and followed the man with the huge black wings. "I figure with everything going on, we might as well get the preliminaries over with." Lucas wondered what the everything that was going on meant. The last thing he remembered from his life was being taken off life support. He remembered drinking with his crew, and then the next thing he knew, he was in the hospital. Several people had told him that he had been the victim of a grenade attack, but he didn't remember any of it. All he remembered was being in pain in limbs that he no longer had. But now he had them. How did that work? His wolf was confused as well. He could feel the animal pacing within him, wanting answers that were not coming very fast. So far, he had died, miraculously regrew his limbs, and walked through fire without getting burned. "I'm not real clear on my role here," Lucas admitted out loud. He picked up his pace so that he was walking beside the huge man instead of behind him. Ash turned his head and looked at Lucas. "I need you to be a guard for me," he said, "like I said earlier." "But what is that exactly?" Lucas asked him. "Protect and serve? That kind of thing?" "Yes," was all the answer he got. They stopped at a set of metal doors, which Lucas realized belonged to an elevator when it dinged and the doors opened. "Okay, then," he said as he followed the angel inside. The doors closed silently, leaving Lucas alone in the confined space with Ash. For whatever reason, his wolf had bowed down instantly to this man. Lucas was used to being the alpha, and this was different for him. He had never bowed down to anyone. "Do I have to bow to you?" he blurted out. Ash crooked the corner of his mouth up in a half-grin. "No, I prefer that you do not," he said. "I am the boss here, the alpha, if you will. As long as you do as I say, we'll get along just fine." Lucas nodded. They traveled up several floors in a comfortable silence. The fact that he was comfortable with the angel was odd to Lucas, but he trusted his wolf, and his wolf trusted Ash. The elevator stopped, and the door slid open to the first realm. The first set of steel doors they came to opened on Ash's command. Lucas noticed that everything looked like an enormous office building without the great scenery out the windows. Because why wouldn't each realm have a waiting room and an electronic panel on the doors? He watched as Ash tapped on one of those electric panels, and a set of doors clicked open. They stepped inside, and Lucas felt as though he had been transported to another dimension. "What is this place?" he asked. "Welcome to Sloth," Ash said. Lucas sniffed the rancid air and gagged. It smelled of body odor and waste. Giant slugs littered the ground, as did sparse patches of grass and trees. "Sloth, huh?" he mused aloud. It didn't take long before Lucas noticed that the slugs had human faces. He shuddered and thanked God he was not a resident in this realm. "Where the criminally lazy go," Ash informed him. "Rogue is out right now, but Tinkerbell is still here." Lucas started to ask about Tinkerbell, but a vicious roar interrupted him. A huge T-Rex barreled out of the trees and began snatching up the slugs for a snack. What was it he read? T-Rex couldn't eat what they couldn't see, and if you didn't move, they couldn't see you. He planted his feet and slowed his breathing to a near halt as he watched the Rex devour everything in sight. "Come here, girl," Ash said cheerfully. The Rex thundered in their direction at the sound of Ash's voice. Lucas knew it. This angel was nuts, and they were getting ready to be dino snacks. Just as the animal got within eating distance, it stopped and lowered its head. Ash reached up and ran his hand over her head. "Meet Tinkerbell," Ash said with an affectionate smile. Lucas let his breath out and tried to pretend that he didn't just almost lose his dinner. "Tinkerbell," he choked out. "Yep," Ash said with a genuine smile. "She takes care of things around here." "She eats slugs," Lucas said. "Souls," Ash corrected him. "She eats the souls who are damned here. But no worries, they come back to be eaten another day." Lucas barely suppressed another shudder. "Yay," he said, without enthusiasm. "Can't wait to see the rest of this place." Ash didn't answer him, but if the smirk on his face was any indication, Lucas thought he was going to like the other realms even less. They toured gluttony, pride, lust, the playground, greed, and finally, murder. Lucas's head was swimming with all the information Ash was giving him, and he hoped there wasn't going to be a test on this shit, because he wasn't going to remember it all. All he knew was that he was glad to be an employee and not a tenant here. As the doors to murder opened, a very tall, very human man met them at the entrance. He had black hair and brown eyes, broad shoulders, and a trim body. He looked more like a runner than what Lucas would have expected as a keeper of murder. "Hey, Ash," he said, offering his hand. Ash took the man's hand and shook it. "How's it going so far?" he asked the man. "Pretty good. It was hard at first, but then I realized what these people had done in life, and now it gets easier every day." He turned his attention to Lucas. "And who is this? A new guard?" "This is Lucas," Ash told him. Then to Lucas he said, "This is Jensen. He's only been running murder for a few days now, but he's getting the hang of it. Lucas shook Jensen's hand. Nice to meet you. Did you die or were you recruited?
Both, Jensen answered him.
Plane crash. Ash thought there was something in me worth saving, though. What's your story?
Lucas smiled. Grenade.
Jensen laughed. That'll do it. Come on, let me show you around. Lucas followed them deeper into the realm. Slimy demons were everywhere. They looked and moved like a three-dimensional black oil painting. They were blobs that took shape to do whatever they needed to do, and Lucas found out all too quick what that was. Souls were shackled to the floor by heavy chains, and the demons killed them, over and over again. Knives, guns, or even bare hands seemed to be acceptable. Lucas forced the bile to stay in his stomach. This was where he belonged, he thought. How many lives had he taken while he had been alive? He was a murderer. Even Lucas's wolf knew it. He could feel the animal's apprehension about being in this place. Lucas had gotten so nervous that he tried to step back in the direction of the door, but realized that he couldn't move his feet. Jensen and Ash were talking about something, and neither of them were looking at Lucas. He looked down and saw that his feet had been chained. Fuck me, he thought. He tried to pull himself free of the chains, but they were stronger than he was. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw one of the black blobs coming his way. He yanked harder on his legs, but it was no use. He was stuck. Instinct kicked in, and Lucas called on his wolf. With only a thought, his body changed from a human man to the dark wolf. He tried to run, but the shackles had shrunk with his body, and now all of his paws were secure to the floor. The oily demon was coming closer and taking shape. Lucas watched as it grew taller, its eyes glowing yellow like they were made of flames. It began to take the shape of a man, growing arms and legs. Lucas turned his head to look at Ash, who was still talking to Jensen. Neither man had noticed anything. His wolf snarled at the demon, who was now even closer. It had completely formed into a man wearing fatigues. It was a soldier. As it approached, Lucas realized he recognized the man. It was the one that Lucas had shot back in the jungle. This was his sins coming back to haunt him. The demon formed a gun at the end of its hand. It raised the gun, took aim, and shot. Lucas's wolf cried out in pain as the bullet ripped through his abdomen. White-hot pain lanced through his body as the soldier demon shot again. Lucas looked back and barked for all he was worth. Ash finally looked over at him. Fuck! The angel shouted as his feet took action. Jensen, let him go! I'm not doing this! Jensen shouted back at him. Both men surrounded Lucas, but they could do nothing to stop the demon from shooting him over and over again. Finally, Ash stepped between the demon and Lucas's battered body. This one is not yours, he growled at the demon. Stop this now! The demon paused for a moment, but then decided to continue forward. Lucas couldn't believe what he saw next. Ash spread his wings and seemed to grow taller than he already was. Black fire erupted all over his skin, and when he spoke, it was as if two people were talking at the same time. You will not disobey me, he snarled at the demon. The next thing Lucas knew, the demon was a pile of dust on the floor. The shackles fell away from the wolf's feet, and Lucas lay there, panting for air. Ash turned to him with glowing red eyes. You have to shift, he said. Do it. Lucas didn't think he had the strength to shift forms. He wanted to, but his body just couldn't do it. I command you to shift, Ash told him. The wolf recognized his alpha, but still, his battered body could not do it. You have to get him out of here, Jensen said. He's given himself over to the realm. That's why it tried to take him. Get him out and he will start to heal. Ash nodded. The flames on his skin went out, and he knelt down beside Lucas. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't think this through. I'll get you out of here now. He gently pushed his arms under the huge wolf and lifted him effortlessly from the ground. He walked out of murder as if he weren't carrying 200 pounds of dead weight in his arms. Lucas knew his tongue was hanging out of his mouth and that he probably looked like a dog who had been hit by a bus. He remained as still as possible as his new boss carried him to safety. How many times had Lucas done the same thing for one of his soldiers? It was strange, being on the other side of this action. The difference was, there were no bombs or missiles behind them. There were no terrorists or tanks. What they were leaving behind was an eternity in hell. As the doors closed behind them, Ash set Lucas carefully on the ground. Lucas could feel the weight of murder lift from his body, and he regained some of his control. Without being told to do so, he pulled on his inner magic and shifted his body to human once again. "Thank you," he said with a heavy sigh. "No problem," Ash told him. "Jake had the same problem with greed. Well, not exactly the same, but you get the idea." "Who's Jake?" Lucas asked, smoothing his shirt down over his middle. He never understood why his clothes shifted with him, but he was glad for it. After that little episode, he didn't want to be standing there naked. "Jake is the first guard I picked," Ash told him. "He's probably in my office along with everyone else. They've been itching to meet you. We have waited quite some time for you to hurry up and die." Lucas nodded. His insides were still shaking after that ordeal and murder, and he welcomed any distraction from it. "You'll understand if I don't ever go back in there," he said. "And I am sorry I had such a strong will to live," Lucas added sarcastically. It wasn't in his character to be short with his superiors, but damn if it hadn't been one hell of a day. Ash nodded and lifted his lip in a half smile, disregarding the sharp reply. "Yep, let's get you in the system to avoid any further complications." Chapter 2. Lucas followed Ash through a set of heavy wooden doors. The doorway opened up to a large office space that was filled with the sounds of gunfire and shouting. Lucas immediately crouched down, flattened his back against the wall, and went on the defensive. He reached for his rifle out of habit, but it was not there. For just a second, Lucas's chest filled with panic. "You fucking bitch! Take that shit!" a man's voice growled. "Stop spawn-killing, you pansy-ass camper!" another man shouted. "Hi, Lucas," an angelic voice said. Lucas looked up, only to realize that he had crouched very low and was bordering on calling his wolf again. The lovely voice that spoke to him belonged to a petite woman with blonde hair and pale blue eyes. She was dressed in white from her ethereal wings to her white boots with steel tips. But what was more, he recognized her voice. He knew her. A sense of calm overtook his body as the sounds of war and shouting dulled in his ears. He rose to his full height, which was about a foot taller than the angel in front of him, and breathed a sigh of relief. "I know you," he said. "You came to me in the hospital." The angel smiled, and that action took all his apprehensions away. "I did," she said. "It is nice to officially meet you. I'm Lacey." She held her hand out and he took it. It was so small compared to his hands. Her bones were delicate, and her skin was smooth against his calloused palm, but he didn't think for a second that she was weak in any way. He could feel the raw power that was bound inside her, and so could his wolf. The animal grunted in approval as he shook her hand. "Lucas," he told her. "Come, meet everyone else while Ash gets you in the system," she said, taking his hand and leading him further into the room. Lucas realized as he approached the others that the war noises he had heard were coming from a big screen TV. There were two more angels parked in front of the set, with controllers in their hands, and Call of Duty raged on the screen. Off to the right were two huge black steel cages. There was a woman inside each cage. One of them was smaller with dark hair and was packed as tightly in the corner, furthest from the other cage as she could go. The other woman had red and blonde hair and appeared to be much taller. She was thinner than the other woman, and when she saw Lucas, she smiled at him. "Hey, Lucas," she waved from her cage. Lucas gave her a tentative wave and then looked at Lacey with a questioning look. "That's Shelley. She's the keeper of greed. Right now, she's in that cage for her own protection, as well as everyone else's. Shelley's great, though. You'll learn to love her. I assure you, the cage is not a permanent solution." Lacey pointed at the other cage. "That woman is a traitor and a witch. Don't trust her. Don't talk to her. She is actually in some deep shit right now." Lucas nodded. He noticed that Shelley's cage was significantly bigger than the other woman's. It was even sort of furnished. She had a nice bed and curtains that were tied back in the corners. It looked like they would cover the entire cage when they were down to give her a bit of privacy. But still, it was a cage. What kind of outfit was Ash running, where women were kept in cages like animals? "The kind where I protect what's mine and yours," Ash grumbled from behind a huge desk. Had Lucas spoken out loud? "Nope," Ash answered for him again. "Sometimes I just get things, like the whole, what the fuck, you're thinking right now." Ash didn't break his concentration from his task, which was typing away at a laptop on his desk. There was a woman standing behind him, rubbing his shoulders gently. She had dark hair and looked like she was of Asian descent, somewhere down the line. "I'm Elizabeth," she said. "I'm Ash's mate. He isn't good at this whole get-to-know-you thing." "This is Jake," Lacey told him, slapping one of the angels on his back. His wings were pretty interesting. They were dark, close to his skin, and got lighter as the feathers moved away from his back. The man turned around and smiled at him. "Nice to meet you," he said. "I'm Shelly's mate. Believe me, her bite is worse than her bark." "Suck it, honey," Shelly said sweetly from her cage. The other angel turned around. He was tall with black hair that reached his shoulders. He had super white wings, and when he smiled, a pair of shiny fangs peeked out from his lips. "Antonio," he said with a nod. "How you taking all this?" he asked, as he pushed himself off the floor to offer his hand to Lucas. "I'm not sure," Lucas answered, taking the offered hand. "So far I have toured hell and damn near got lost to murder." "No shit," the angel muttered. "What was it you did in life?" "Oh yeah, sniper. Yeah, that's a bitch. But no worries, you're gonna be a warrior just like me. You're gonna be cool as shit, almost as much as me." Lucas had to return the silly grin the angel wore. "Soon as Ash gets you in, we'll all hit your funeral and then get you dressed up." "Dressed up?" Lucas asked. He figured at some point he would get to say goodbye to his loved ones. But what was he supposed to wear? Lacey tugged at his sleeve. "Your wings," she whispered. Lucas nodded and kept the holy shit feelings he was having from escaping his throat. Wings. He was a wolf. Wings would be so cool, but what about the animal that lived inside him? How could a wolf have wings? "You worry too much," Ash said. "Come on over here so we can finish this up." Lucas took a seat in the chair across from Ash at his desk. "What do I need to do?" he asked. Ash didn't get a chance to respond to him. The office doors crashed open, and a woman stalked her way inside. "What the hell now?" she demanded. "Where is he?" "I'm sorry, miss, but who are you?" Ash demanded, taking a stand. "My freaking father, Lucifer. Where the hell is he?" the woman demanded. She was tall for a female, Lucas noticed. Probably only a couple of inches shorter than he was. Her raven black hair fell straight down her back, and her sapphire blue eyes blazed with fury. She was powerful, strong, so much so that his wolf stood up and took notice. He knew that she and Ash were exchanging words, but he couldn't manage to focus on it. Her scent filled his senses, forever blazing itself into his memory. Roses and vanilla. Was it something she used in the shower? Her hair swayed behind her as she talked, animating her words with her hands. Was it as soft as it looked? Lucas's hands itched to touch those silken strands, to run it through his fingers, to grip it tightly as he marked her as his. His wolf howled in agreement. She was his. Wait, what? His? And did she say Lucifer was her father? Lucas forced his attention back to the conversation going on in front of him. "I'm sorry to tell you that Lucifer is dead," Ash told the woman. "By your hands?" she demanded. Her eyes showed a brief moment of sadness, but she covered it quickly with contempt. Ash shook his head. "No, I'm his replacement." "His replacement?" she repeated slowly. She paced the carpet in front of Ash's desk, and Lucas couldn't help but notice the fuck-me red heels she was wearing. "You had one fucking job," she shouted, stopping to slam her fist down on the desk. "One, and you fucked it up. Well, don't be coming to me for help. That ship sailed a long time ago. I'm out." The woman turned on her heel, threw her hand in the air, and left as abruptly as she had come. The heavy door slammed behind her, leaving the room in an eerie, stunned silence. "What the fuck was that?" Jake finally asked. "Agreed," Lucas said. "And how do I get her back here?" Ash picked up his phone and dialed. "Mally," he barked into it, "get in here." In only a matter of minutes, a gnarly little man entered the office. "You called, sir?" he asked. Lucas cocked his head to the side to get a better look at him. He was tiny with skinny limbs, but all of his joints were much bigger than they should be. It was as if he had been twisted and untwisted too many times to straighten back out completely. "Did Lucifer have a daughter?" Ash demanded. "Well, yes, she did. Banished her to Earth a good long time ago," Mally told him. "Why was I not told about this?" Ash growled. "I need to know these things." "I'm sorry, sir," Mally pleaded, backing away into a corner. "I haven't heard her name in so long.
I didn't even consider her. What the hell do I keep you around for? Ash's voice boomed. He stomped over to the little man and yanked him up by his neck. You didn't think this was important? Mally gurgled a response, but it was lost in translation. He couldn't get any air past Ash's iron grip. Honey, Elizabeth said softly, you can't just kill everyone who upsets you. Fuck yes I can, Ash growled. Elizabeth placed her hand on Ash's bicep. Please don't kill Mally before he can tell us what we need to know, she said gently. Then she turned her attention to Lacey. A little help here? She asked the angel. Lacey took a step forward and ran into an invisible brick wall. I wouldn't recommend it, Ash growled over his shoulder. Lacey had the unique ability to affect one's emotions, causing everything from serene calm to mass confusion and fear. She knew that Elizabeth only wanted Ash to calm down a little bit, but he wasn't having it, and Lacey wasn't stupid enough to push the issue. She nodded and backed off. Ash tossed the man he was holding in his grip across the room, and he hit the wall with a thud. His mangled body slid down until it hit the floor. Lucas was certain there was no way this little guy could have stood up after that. But he did. Mally stood up and brushed himself off before taking a steadying breath. River is the daughter to Lucifer. He banished her long ago, because she didn't really fit in down here, Mally finally said. What do you mean, didn't fit in? Ash asked him with a crinkled brow. His patience was wearing thin, and it was all too obvious in the way his body shook with the need to maul something. Mally brushed off his clothing and looked up at Ash. For lack of a better description, she wasn't evil enough to suit his preferences, he answered. Ash fell back into his chair, let out a heavy sigh, and scrubbed his hand over his head. Well, she seems to know that things were going on down here, he said. We need her back. She said not to ask her for help, which means she probably can help, which means we have to find her. Agreed, Lucas joined in. Ash looked at his newest guard and smiled. I'm glad you feel that way, he said, because you're going to go get her. Chapter 3. Look, we don't have a lot of time here, Ash said, leaning back in his chair so that Elizabeth could settle herself in his lap. Things have been a bit crazy here. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, if that's all right. Lucas nodded his head. He was used to being briefed on the fly. I took over this place after Lucifer was killed. Killed by his own son. That fucker was in turn killed by a family of vampires topside. God gave me this gig, and now I am in charge. Some serious shit has gone down since that day. Ash shook his head and took in a deep breath. When I was still human, before this, I had made a deal with a demon. Long story short, I couldn't kill my mate, and so I took that bastard out first. That's how I landed here. Some of the demons didn't think I was fit to run shit here, and things got hectic. They tried to take what was mine. He gripped Elizabeth tighter, and Lucas knew he was talking about her. He could understand. No one got away with touching or harming a wolf's mate. I didn't know it at the time, but Laura, the witch in the cage over there, was playing both sides of the fence. She was sleeping with Shax, the demon I killed, and had this whole plan to rule hell. She used her magic and a couple of humans to summon Shelley. That would be my woman, Jake interrupted. Ash shot him a glare, and Jake sealed his lips up tight. Ash turned his gaze back to Lucas. She was caught, but not before stealing Shelley's blood and using it to control her. Hence the reason Shelley is now also in a cage. It is for everyone's protection. The fucking witch used her blood to make her free Balthazar. B is my father, Shelley added from her cell. He's one nasty SOB. He was locked up in the first place for creating and attempting to open a portal. What kind of portal? Lucas asked. The kind that opens the gates of hell and lets all the fucking demons out, Ash snarled. Lucas felt his eyebrows go up. So yeah, Ash continued. I've got one hell of a fucking problem going on here. After Balthazar escaped, he opened that fucking monstrosity. We managed to contain the portal, but we can't close it. Right now, it's a joint effort between us and some loaned warrior angels to keep it that way. Lucas blew out his breath. Fuck. That was one hell of a problem. He knew he shouldn't feel it, but he was getting nauseous. He scrubbed his hand over his military cut and leaned forward. He was no stranger to battle, and this definitely looked like battle. What can I do? He finally asked. What are my orders? Ash relaxed somewhat. The corner of his lips twitched as if he were thinking of smiling.
Your first order of business is to find that woman. But first, we need to get your wings and your funeral out of the way. Lucas nodded a sharp single nod. He was perfectly okay with finding the woman, and his wolf was good with it too. He was okay with fighting. What he wasn't so sure of was his funeral. He knew his family would be hurting, and he wanted to make sure they knew he was all right. No worries, Antonio said, slapping him on the back. You're gonna like the funeral. It's a headfuck for sure, but it is necessary.
Right, Jake agreed.
Stop it, guys, Lacey warned them. Lucas, she said with a reassuring smile, you'll do fine.
I hope so, Lucas admitted on a heavy breath. Could this day get any weirder? As it turned out, yes, it could. Lucas followed Ash, Antonio, and Jake out of the office and through the corridors of hell. It looked nothing like he would have imagined hell to be. If he didn't know better, he would have thought he was in a huge office building in New York, or somewhere that had equally large skyrise buildings. The floors were covered in soft gray carpet, the walls painted a pristine white. There were doors that led to offices, and then there were heavy steel doors that led to each realm. Lucas wondered how each realm fit on its floor. After his tour, he knew that looks were deceiving here. Space was just an idea of sorts, and time, well, it passed on a completely different level. Ash finally rounded a corner, and what Lucas saw reminded him more of what hell should look like. The carpet and doors were replaced by rock caverns that opened up into a large cave. There was a desk sitting in the middle of the cave, and at that desk, a woman. People were lined up single file, waiting for their turn at the desk. Triage, Ash said. Oh, Lucas replied. What else was he supposed to say? He thought he should have been surprised that hell brought in the new kids, much like a hospital waiting room. But he wasn't. Not after everything he had seen so far. Lucas followed Ash out of the main cavern and down a dark corridor. He could hear the scampering of little feet in the shadows, and he growled at them. Those are minions, Antonio told him. Nasty little boogers. But as long as they're afraid of you, then you have nothing to worry about. Just make sure they know you are nastier than they are.
Minions, Lucas repeated. Sure, why not?
Not like the ones on TV, Jake tossed in. These feed off the carcasses of the dead down here. Sometimes they even wait for it to die first.
Lucas shuddered.
You.
Finally, they came to an open area where Ash stopped. Okay, he said. Let's do this.
Lucas watched as Ash bowed his head. Antonio and Jake did too, so Lucas figured he had better do it as well.
Father, Ash spoke aloud and with reverence, we seek your love and guidance on this day. I bring before you your son, Lucas Strong, of the Strong Wolf Pack. He has shown strength and compassion, a strong will, and is ready to serve you. We ask that you grant him the gift of your love, the strength to follow through, the knowledge he will need, and the power to execute your will. Lucas hadn't thought of this new gig as working for God, but he guessed it would be. The other guards were angels, and he was getting ready to be one too. He bowed his head, and even the wolf inside him rumbled with approval. Amen, he said out loud. And that was when things went from weird to what the fuck. Lucas felt a tingling on his back, lightly at first, but it grew in intensity. The tingle grew into outright pain. It was very similar to the phantom limb pain he had felt in the hospital, only worse. The pain seemed to reach out from his back and take up the space behind his body. Lucas doubled over with the pain. He grit his teeth and locked the scream that threatened to escape his throat inside. He would not let this get the better of him. He had lived through so much, and this was no different. The angels had told him that this would happen, and he only had to get through it. Lucas forced his breath to move through his lungs, in and out, steady as the fire in his back spread. His wolf howled inside him, begging him to make it stop. Lucas worried for his wolf, but Ash had assured him everything would be fine. So far, the angel hadn't lied to him. Lucas held tight to that belief. As the pain grew to epic proportions, he felt as if his entire body was on fire. But the four angels at his side didn't seem concerned. And then, the pain stopped. It was there one moment, the worst pain he had ever felt in his life, and the next, it was gone. Just gone. As if it had never been there at all. Lucas stood and stretched his back. He waited for the pain to come back, but, blessedly, it did not.
Want to see it? Antonio asked with a grin. Lucas craned his head around to try and see his new wings.
He could see the tops of them. They were the same dark brown as his wolf's fur, only richer and deeper. He thought for them to spread out, and they did. His new appendages were the color of dark chocolate, flowing and gliding as if they were molten. "Wow," he said. "Yep," Antonio agreed. "What about my wolf?" Lucas asked. He did an internal scan of himself, finding his wolf right where he should be. It huffed in approval. "Can you shift?" Ash asked him. "I don't know," Lucas answered. "I can try and see." Lucas called to his wolf and was surprised when he felt the familiar popping and stretching of his bones. His wolf took over, landing on all fours, just like he had millions of times before. "Nice," Jake said with approval. "I think you're a bit darker than you were before." Lucas spun around on his paws, trying to see what the angel was talking about. But as a wolf, he only saw in shades of gray or black. He humped and transitioned back to his human form. "I see the wings shift, too," Lucas said out loud, but more to himself than anyone else. He was an angel. He was a shifter. He was too many things to wrap his head around at that moment. "Better get your head together," the angel Antonio told him, "because it's time." Ash nodded and silently commanded his guard to get moving. He flashed away, and Jake followed suit. "How the hell?" Lucas muttered. "They just disappeared." "We call it flashing," Antonio explained. "It's all in your mind. You'll learn it pretty quickly. All you have to do is concentrate on a person or thing that you want to go to, and your body goes there." Lucas shook his head. "Like teleporting," Antonio grinned. "Exactly like that. You'll find that as an angel, you can do all sorts of things. The main thing you need to know is how to flash, fly, and keep invisible." "Right," Lucas said with an unsure nod. "So where are we going?" "Your funeral," Antonio answered. "Concentrate on your family. That should whisk you right there." Lucas did as the angel instructed. He thought of his mother and his sister. He thought of his pack. He closed his eyes and envisioned the way his mother looked when she laughed. The air around his body shifted and changed. It seemed heavier than it had before, and when Lucas opened his eyes, he was no longer in the caverns of hell. He was standing outside at the cemetery in his hometown. The air was thick and heavy, humid and warm. It wrapped around Lucas's skin like a wet blanket. The sky was bleak, as if it were threatening to open up and unleash its fury at any time. Lucas supposed that it was fitting weather for a funeral. It didn't rain much in Tombstone, Arizona, but from the looks of things, that was about to change. He looked from the sky to the temporary gazebo that had been set up. There were about a dozen chairs under the shelter where his pack was seated. A light hand on his shoulder made Lucas jump. "Whoa," Lacey said, giving him a reassuring smile. "Take it easy, Wolfman. Just wanted to remind you to stay invisible." "I don't even know how to do that," Lucas admitted. "You're doing it now," she told him. She pushed her long blonde hair over her shoulder. "The key is to not want to be seen. So as long as you don't wish for it, it won't happen." "Right. Don't let them see me," he said. "Will they know I'm here?" Lacey gave him a small smile. "Some people have a feeling. Others don't. I guess it depends on the person and their willingness to believe in what they cannot see." Lucas made a mental note of Lacey's words and then left her to go to his family. His mother was seated in the front row, facing the casket. His sister sat at her side, and his cousins and extended family filled in the rest of the seats. Lucas walked over to them. He crept the long, silent feet until he was standing in front of his mother and watched as she cried softly. His sister sat right beside her, holding her hand. His family all sat in the chairs under the canopy, staring at the silver casket that held his remains. The minister said a few words, something about leaving this world and moving on to another, but Lucas wasn't paying attention to them. His attention was focused more on the seven men from his platoon that were standing at attention 100 yards away. They were at attention in their dress blues. Their rifles were at rest in their hands, patiently waiting for the order to fire. Lucas flashed himself over to his men. They were stoic, yet he could see the pain etched into the lines of his friends' faces. These men were more than soldiers to him. They were part of his family. "Ready?" the captain shouted. The seven men raised their guns and pointed them into the air. "Aim!" Seven pairs of eyes stared down their sights. "Fire!" The sound of gunfire exploded through the cemetery. "Fire!" Again they shot into the air. "Fire!" The third round boomed over the hills. At ease, the captain commanded, and the seven men dropped their rifles back to resting position. The cemetery was eerily quiet in the wake of the 21-gun salute, and then, to add to it, from somewhere Lucas couldn't see, the mournful cry of a lone bugle in the distance filled the air. Goosebumps rose up all over Lucas's body, and he flashed himself back to his mother's side. Four Marines were carefully, respectfully, folding his flag as the bugle played. Lucas watched as they folded it in perfect formation. Then the sergeant marched to his mother. He presented the flag to her with an open box sitting on top. Inside the box was Lucas's Purple Heart medal. The soldier gently laid the flag in her hands, then stood back and saluted her. His mother breathed a heavy sigh.
"This is all I have now," she whispered.
She stood and faced the soldier in front of her. She pressed her lips into a thin line and hardened her stare.
"I gave you my only son. Now all I have is a flag and a shiny medal."
The sergeant's eyes flicked as if he wanted to look away from her accusing stare. "He was a gift to us all, ma'am," he replied to her. "It is an honor to have known him. Hoorah!" And then, because there was nothing more to say, he turned on his heel and marched away. Lucas felt a hand on his shoulder. At first, he thought it was Lacey again, but it was too big and heavy to belong to her. One sniff, and he knew who it was. He had forgotten that Ash was even there with him, but already he knew his scent.
"Serious mind trip right here," Lucas said, without looking at his new leader.
"That's what I hear," Ash replied softly. "We need to go." Lucas nodded, and the pair flashed back to hell. Chapter 4. Lucas found himself in Ash's office, but Ash was not there. Had he missed the mark and went somewhere he wasn't supposed to? Had the new leader had enough of his constant questions and mishaps? He wouldn't blame him if he had. As far as Lucas was concerned, he had turned into a complete wuss since arriving in hell. As he checked out his surroundings, he realized that Jake and Lacey were also gone. He must have missed the memo. "What you looking for?" Antonio asked him. Lucas saw that the angel had parked himself behind Ash's desk.
"I was wondering if I'd flashed to the wrong place," he admitted.
"Nah," Antonio said. "Ash wanted you here. He and the others went to a meeting in the main cavern. He's got a lot to deal with right now, and one of those things is gathering a hunting party for the escaped demons."
"Shouldn't I be helping?" Lucas asked. "I'm not some greenhorn that doesn't have any skills. I could be helping with this."
He tried not to let his irritation show, but Lucas could feel his wolf growling inside him, just as offended as he was. Antonio laughed.
"Dude," he said with a fangy smile, "chill. Ash wanted you to be here with me so that I could get you on your way to finding that river chick."
"Oh," Lucas said. It wasn't in the middle of the action, but at least it was something. "Ash said you had the tracker and that you would be good at it. I have only known a couple of wolves in my time, but they were all excellent at their jobs. My family even employs a few. I am thinking that, combined with your sniper skills, should get you right to her." Lucas felt the heat on his neck cool. This was a task specifically for him. He wasn't being forced to sit on the sidelines, but given a special task. This Ash character seemed as though he already had faith in Lucas's abilities. The wolf inside him paced, anxious to get to it, and make his alpha proud. "Hey, Lucas, could you hand me that pencil right there?" Shelley asked, sticking her arm out of the cage and pointing toward Ash's desk, interrupting Lucas's train of thought. Lucas looked to Antonio to see if it was okay. When the angel shrugged, Lucas picked up the number 2 and placed it in Shelley's open palm. The demon sank back on her haunches and studied the pencil for a moment, rolling it between her index fingers and thumbs. "Do you need paper too?" Lucas asked her.
"No," she answered without looking at him.
"This is good." Then the demon spun around and shoved the pencil through the bars of her cage and into the cage of the witch beside her. The lead stuck in the human's arm, and she let out a yelp of pain. Shelley laughed hysterically.
"You bitch!" the witch snarled while rubbing her injured arm.
"Oh, don't act like you don't deserve it," Shelley snapped back at her. "It's your damn fault I'm in this fucking cage to begin with. Karma. It's the bitch here, and she's got her sights set on you." Shelley tucked the pencil into the far corner of her cage for later use.
"Why do I get the feeling that Ash wouldn't have let me give it to her?" Lucas asked Antonio.
"Nah, he wouldn't care," Antonio answered. He wants the witch to talk, and Shelley's got her pound of flesh coming from this one. I say let her have her fun. Lucas nodded skeptically, unwilling to completely accept Antonio's answer. He opened his mouth to say something, but the thought was whipped from his head as a strange feeling rooted itself in his gut. "There's something wrong," Lucas said. "I feel like I'm being pulled from the inside." Antonio's grin fell from his face, and the angel became serious. "Fight it, man," he told Lucas. "We can't have this shit go down again." Lucas didn't get the chance to ask what shit Antonio was talking about, because he was suddenly enveloped in complete darkness, and then everything was just gone. Antonio stared at the spot where Lucas had stood only a second before. "Damn it!" the angel shouted. "Ash!" Ash flashed into his office immediately. "What's wrong?" he asked, his eyes burning red as hot coals. "Lucas is gone," Antonio explained. "He was here, and now he's gone. He said something about being pulled. I think he was summoned." "Fucking hell," Ash growled. "Well, let's go get him." Antonio nodded and flashed away to get the others. In a heartbeat, he was back with Lacey and Jake. "Lucas was summoned, we think," Ash told them. "We will not risk him. We're going to find him. Now." "Do you know where he is?" Jake asked. Ash nodded. "I've gotten better at this since Shelley was taken," he told him. "Follow me." Ash flashed away, and the others were quick to follow him. Lucas found himself standing in the sand near his old home. There was a fire burning, and he could see his pack gathered around it. He couldn't believe he forgot about this. He watched as Little Wolf, the spirit walker who had become as close as family, chanted his magic. It was tradition to have a ceremonial run with the spirit of a fallen pack member. He watched in amazement as Little Wolf's spirit left his body and stood. The Native American found Lucas immediately and walked over to meet him. "Lucas," he said with a smile. "Your family will be happy to know you are all right," he said. Then he noticed Lucas's wings. "Promoted, I see," he said. Then the spirit walker's eyes widened as four pissed-off angels appeared around them. "You cannot have him," Ash growled. "No, wait," Lucas said, but Ash cut him off. "How dare you summon one of my guards?" Ash demanded. Little Wolf's spirit backed away slowly. "I don't understand," he muttered. The angels were magnificent, more than he had ever imagined. They were beautiful and fierce, their swords at the ready. "Ash!" Lucas yelled, getting his attention. "This is not what you think." "Then what is it?" Ash demanded. "It's a run," Lucas quickly explained. "It's tradition for my pack to run with the spirit of a fallen member. I never thought it actually worked, though." Ash's ire cooled in a small amount. "This is something that you will return from," he asked. "Of course," Lucas said. Then he looked to Little Wolf. "Right?" The spirit walker inclined his head. "Fine," Ash grumbled, "but we stay here." The spirit walker went back to his body and opened his eyes. "The spirit of our fallen has joined us," he told Lucas's pack. "You may run with him now." The angels watched as Lucas's pack transformed from a group of people into a pack of wolves. Lucas shifted as well, taking the form of his wolf. He paced around his family, knowing they couldn't see him, but knowing they could feel his presence as well. He lifted his snout into the air and howled. The pack howled with him, as if they could hear him. Then they took off, running from the fire into the desert. Ash watched as a silent spectator, in awe of the sacred ceremony before him. He had never witnessed anything so sad and yet so fulfilling at the same time. Lucas's wolf family mourned his loss, but the ceremonial run gave them peace, a sense of contentment that humans would never be able to attain. He'd looked to his guard, who were standing at his side, and they nodded. The four of them stood at attention and silent as statues, while Lucas ran one last time with his family. It seemed as if hours passed before Lucas's wolf loped down the sandhill to where Ash stood. He called on his magic, reforming his body back into the human form. "Thanks," he said to Ash, with a crooked smile. "I needed that. I think they will be okay now." Ash nodded, then raised his right hand to his brow. "Gunny," he acknowledged Lucas for his title and nodded his head. Lucas saluted Ash in return. "Sir," he said sharply, "I'm ready to move on now." Ash nodded and flashed himself back to hell, knowing his guard would be fast on his heels. Chapter 5. As Lucas found himself back in the caverns of hell, he double-checked to make sure that everyone was there with him. "I'm sorry," he said to everyone.
I had no idea that the ceremony actually worked. I would have warned you.
Don't beat yourself up about it, Antonio said. Besides, we got to watch something that most people never see.
I agree, Lacey said. I thought it was beautiful. I have never been so close to so many wolves before, and never realized how loving and caring they really were. I hate to admit it, but I always thought of weres as animalistic men who were hell-bent on claiming their women and like to have rutting sex whenever possible.
Lucas grinned. Well, he told her, we are rutting animals hell-bent on claiming our mates, but there is a strong sense of family as well.
Stronger than that of humans? Antonio piped in.
Hey, Jake barked. I'm a human, and I love my mate just like you do, Fangs or Us.
Lucas snorted. Fangs or Us?
It's a nickname, Lacey told him. You'll have one, too. Give them time. They like to call me Dynamite.
Because awesomeness comes in small packages, Jake agreed. You don't want to piss this one off, he pointed at Lacey. She seems all nice and love and hope and shit. And then the next thing you know, you're in the corner terrified, ready to piss your pants.
I have an affinity for emotions, she said calmly. It is not my fault that you are particularly susceptible.
Enough, Ash said. He didn't raise his voice, but the words carried enough authority and finality that everyone stopped talking. Lucas has had an interesting day. He needs rest so that he can find that woman tomorrow. Just the mention of that woman had his wolf on full alert. He did need to find her. The scent of her skin was blazed into Lucas's memory, as was the sinful color of her eyes. Blue. Not shifter blue like his, but deep blue, like the ocean on a calm day. Her eyelashes rimmed those beauties, giving her an exotic look. And her hair. What Lucas would give to run his hands through that long black hair, to hold it in his fist as he brought her to...
Lucas! Ash's voice boomed, bringing Lucas out of his own head. And not a moment too soon, he noticed. His cock had also appreciated the memory of the woman and was standing at half-mast.
I said, go to your sleeping quarters and rest. Can you manage that?
Yes, sir, he sharply replied.
Good, Ash said with a knowing shake of his head. Jake will show you the way.
Let's go, Jake said with a grin and a slap on Lucas's shoulder. The pair walked out of Ash's office and down the hall. Lucas didn't say anything as he followed behind Jake. Following was new to Lucas. His whole life he had been a leader. This was going to take some getting used to. Following Ash had been easier than he expected, though. The man had shown in a short time that he can be ferocious, but also a great leader. Lucas had been born to be an alpha, but even his wolf recognized Ash as top dog. Jake stopped in front of a wooden door.
This is it, he told Lucas. Home sweet home.
There should be a cell phone in there for you. All of our numbers are already programmed in, so if you need anything, just call. Try not to flash in when it's sleeping hours. Some of us have mates, you know.
Lucas nodded and thanked Jake. After the angel was gone, Lucas opened the door. Again, he wasn't expecting what he saw. He was expecting something more marine-like, a cot and a small dresser. But this, not even close. The walls were painted a muted blue color, and the furniture was all stained dark mahogany. There was an enormous chest of drawers on the far wall, complete with a mirror. In the center of the room was a huge king-sized bed. It even looked comfortable. On the nightstand was a cell phone, just as Jake said there would be. Lucas picked it up and thumbed through the contacts. Yep, everyone there, and a few he didn't recognize. He sat on the bed heavily, loving the way the mattress gave under his weight. Lucas laid back and laced his fingers behind his head. It was only after he had gotten good and comfortable that he remembered that he had wings. They had folded neatly against his back, unhindered by his position. He could see that there was a bathroom off the main room, but he was too tired to get up and look. He drew in a heavy sigh and closed his eyes. He was running through a forest as his wolf. The beast darted happily between the trees, chasing a rabbit through the brush. Then, a familiar scent reached his nose. Lucas recognized the scent as easily as he would have his own family. River was there. He crouched behind a tree, making himself as small as possible. And then he saw her. She was standing by a stream, singing softly to herself. Her black hair swayed with the breeze, and the sun lit her face like an angel. Even though she looked sweet and innocent, Lucas knew she was anything but. She was Lucifer's daughter. She was trouble. His wolf growled inwardly at his remark, recognizing his mate in the beautiful woman. Of course she was his mate. That was why she affected him so strongly. Lucas called on his inner magic and shifted back to his human form. As River lowered her hands into the water, Lucas stepped out from his hiding spot. She heard his footsteps and turned quickly to face him, her eyes flashing with power. She was ready to take on whomever had the nerve to disturb her. Lucas smiled. As soon as she saw him, her eyes softened. "Lucas," she breathed. Lucas said nothing but strode toward her, taking her into his arms. "My mate," he whispered into her hair as he pulled her close. The feel of her body against his had him rock hard in a second. She didn't seem to mind that he was completely naked and that he was now grinding his hips into hers.
"I have been so lost," she told him. "I have to find my way."
"I'll help you," he vowed. "I will always be there for you." Lucas lowered his head and touched his lips to hers. Lightning raced through his veins. He groaned and sucked her lower lip into his mouth. He needed to claim her immediately. He needed to make her his, to mark her, and prove to her that she belonged to him. He pushed his tongue into her mouth, and she went soft in his arms. Lucas moved one hand up to cradle the back of her head as he explored the hot cavern of her mouth. She tasted sweet, like candy, and he couldn't get enough. Her nails raked against his bare skin, and Lucas thought he might lose it without ever taking her clothes off. She was everything he ever wanted, even if he didn't know what that was. His wolf had gone quiet inside of him, waiting for the moment to claim her. As Lucas broke the kiss to come up for air, he saw something in her eyes, fear. She pushed him away and screamed at him, "I will never go back! Get away from me!" And then she turned into flames before disappearing completely. Lucas woke with a start, breathing heavy and confused. He sat straight up in bed. His cock was rock hard on his belly, and he was sweating. What a dream! What did she mean she would never go back? Of course she was coming back, he thought. She was his mate. He just had to convince her of it. But first, he needed to bring her back to Ash, to help with the clusterfuck that was going on. Then, he was going to make sure she never forgot who her mate was. With a determined sigh, Lucas lay back down on his back. He took his cock in his hand, remembering the way she tasted in his dream. He hoped that she tasted that good in person. He was going to find out, Lucas vowed as he began to stroke himself. Chapter 6. Lucas had been walking for hours. There were only so many streets to walk down in the small town that Ash insisted was where he would find River. Lucas was fairly certain he had traveled them all. Twice. He kept going, though. He knew it was a matter of time before he caught her scent and was able to track her. Just the thought of her made his jeans tight. Damn those dreams he had. It was bad before, the way he wanted her, after only seeing her once. Now, his imagination had gotten involved and taken hold of his cock. From the way things were going, that imagination didn't plan on ever letting go, either. Lucas was about to give up and go back. Maybe they were mistaken about where to find her. Hell, it was like looking for a needle in a stack of needles. He pulled the small photo out of his pocket and looked at it again. He was used to finding people. That was what he did, or at least, what he used to do. Lucas was very good at finding his mark and taking it out. Except, he wasn't supposed to take her out. He was supposed to bring her back in one piece. The photo was aged and yellowed. It looked as if it were taken in the 20s. But still, he could see that she had long, shiny black hair that waved as it passed her shoulders. Her facial features were petite, and her eyes were black in the picture, even though he had seen for himself that they were blue. Mally had given him the photograph, and Lucas took it. Not because he needed it, but he kept it because he wasn't ready to tell anyone that he could recall every feature of her face with perfect detail. He normally did not have that kind of memory, but she was no ordinary woman. He shoved the photo back into his back pocket and kept on walking. What was the name of this town? Lewisport. That was it. A tiny hole-in-the-wall town that had maybe 1,000 inhabitants, if you counted the ones that lived in the county but kept the city address. He walked along the strip mall in hopes that she would be out and about. It was going to be much more difficult if she was a recluse and stayed indoors. Then he was going to have to check each and every house. Just about the time he resigned himself to do just that, he saw a flash of black silk. He hurried to catch up with the woman wearing it, and he knew, just knew, it was her. "River!" he called out. The woman's back stiffened, but she kept going. "River!" he yelled out, accenting both syllables of her name. He finally ate up the distance between them and gently grabbed her arm. She spun around and gave him one serious death glare, but he couldn't focus on that. Her eyes were blue, brilliant and bright, like the afternoon sky on a clear day. Her alabaster skin looked like fine porcelain, her petite nose set atop a bow-shaped mouth with a pouty bottom lip. She was beautiful. So beautiful that she was almost painful to look at. Almost. Yet Lucas couldn't stop staring. He knew his mouth was hanging open, and he knew he should say something to her, but he couldn't. His mouth refused to work, and his brain had checked out on him in the presence of this woman. It was true. She was Lucifer's daughter. She had inherited her looks from her father. Her body was slender, but not skinny, curved at her breast, and her hips creating a perfect hourglass. Oh, to get his hands on her hips, and to hold her to his body, to kiss those lips. His brain took off on its own in his private fantasy. "I said, excuse me," she said to him in a very irritated voice. She yanked her arm out of his grip and turned to leave. Lucas watched her move with fascination. Every move she made was elegant and graceful, yet she moved with the confidence of someone with an exceptional amount of restrained power. He had seen it many times in the field. He couldn't believe he was watching her go. Go? No, he needed her to stay. He found his voice and called after her. "Wait!" He forced his feet to move and caught up to her once again. "River, please," he said. She spun around on her heel. "I don't believe we know each other," she said. "I'm Lucas," he told her. "And you are my assignment." She rolled her eyes. "Tell your boss to go to hell," she said. Then she thought for a moment. "No, wait. Tell him to go to heaven and be blessed." She turned with a satisfied smirk on her face. "Can't do it," Lucas told her. "Why the hell not?" she demanded. "I told you not to come begging me for help. I'm not part of that world anymore. I am not going. Thank you for stalking me, but I really must go now." She turned to leave again. "Now wait a minute," Lucas barked. "Don't you even want to know why?" She shook her head. "I do know, and I don't care." "Well, too bad, because I'm supposed to bring you back, and that is what I plan to do," he said as he took her arm again. He would drag her if he had to. There was no way he was going back without her. "Get off me, you creep," she shouted. And then she pulled her fist back and snapped it forward. It connected with Lucas's jaw. Hard. He stumbled back and tripped over something. He didn't see what, and fell on his ass. He looked up at her just in time to see the fire flash in her eyes, and then she was gone. Disappeared into thin air. Lucas stood up and brushed himself off. He looked around to make sure no one saw their little disagreement, and, luckily, no one did. He rubbed his throbbing jaw. She was beautiful in general, but when she was angry, oh man, when she was angry, this is going to get interesting, he thought to himself, as he started after her. The child of the devil himself was no doubt stronger than she let on. Lucas wondered what kind of power she might have as he power-walked to catch up to her again. "River!" he called out to her, retreating back. "Just wait!" Lucas pressed his lips together. She was beautiful and fast. He closed his eyes and focused. Lucas felt his body dematerialize as he flashed. He appeared right in front of her. River stopped, dead in her tracks, and narrowed her eyes at him. "Now that was just rude," she said, with a roll of her eyes. "Go sniff somewhere else, wolf." Lucas grinned at her. "I'm not trying to be rude. You are. Just talk to me, just for a minute, will ya? And how did you know I was a wolf?" "I know more than you think I know," she replied. "Well, I'm not going anywhere until you at least hear me out," Lucas told her. "Coffee? Let's just have coffee and talk. If you don't like what I have to say, then I'll go back and tell Ash that you're not interested." River considered the wolf's suggestion. She did like coffee. She also liked looking at the shifter. She liked the way he talked, but with that sexiest sin voice and all that muscle, His eyes were an intense blue, the left one with a tiny scar near the corner. His nose was straight and noble, sitting atop of full lips that promised more than River was willing to consider. She had always had a thing for a man in uniform, and even though he was wearing fatigues, it was still hot. The camo cargo pants hugged his hips and barely encased the muscles of his thick thighs. The light tan t-shirt stretched over his wide chest, leaving little to the imagination. What she liked best, though, it was the shiny silver dog tag that hung around his neck. All of that, combined with the dark brown wings on his back that only she could see at the moment, made him one delicious sight. Of course, she would never admit that out loud, but what could it hurt to look at him a little longer? She also knew that what he said was true. He was never going to let her be until she talked to him.
Fine, one cup of coffee, but don't get your hopes up.
She motioned with a wave of her hand for Lucas to follow her. As she crossed the street, River tried not to look back at him. He was definitely following her. That much she knew. It wasn't just her common sense telling her as much, either. She could feel him. The heat of his body was like a beacon to her, telling her exactly where he was. River had felt it in hell, but had brushed it off. Now, she had time to consider it. If she closed her eyes, she could almost see it. An aura of heat and light that the angel gave off beckoned her mind. She could feel the pull in her chest. This one was special, but the question was, why? That weird pull was the biggest reason she agreed to talk with him. They rounded a corner, and River came to a stop at a small coffee shop. "I mean it," she warned him. "One cup, then I'm out." Lucas nodded and gave her a lopsided grin as only a wolf could. River's insides all but turned to mush when he looked at her like that. Damn him and his good looks and those damn shifter pheromones. It had to be that. There was no other explanation. He reached around her and opened the door wide, allowing River to walk in first. Of course, he had to go and be a gentleman, too. The thought both intrigued and irritated River. There was only one other customer in the shop, so River took a seat in front of the window. Lucas walked up to the counter and smiled at the woman behind the register. He knew immediately the effect he had on her, by the way her pulse sped up, and the heat that crept up her face. "Two mocha frappuccinos, please," he ordered for himself and for River. "Whole milk." The lady immediately bustled to get his order ready, and Lucas remembered that he was dead and broke. "Damn it," he cursed under his breath. Then he felt something in his palm. He raised his hand to find several bills in it. "Angels always have what they need when they need it," he remembered. The woman handed him the drinks, and Lucas handed her the money, before meeting River back at their table. He pushed the coffee over to her and said, "Now, let's start by you telling me how you know what's going on." River sipped the brew slowly, watching the wolf with a wary eye. She wasn't sure how much she should tell him, or why she even wanted to. "I was born of hell," she finally answered. "I just know things about it." "Why were you banished?" "Because I didn't fit the description my father had in his head about how evil his daughter should be," she answered him. "Why won't you help us?" he asked her. "What is this, an interrogation? I'm not one of your POWs. I don't have to tell you a damn thing," River bristled. "Whoa," Lucas said, sitting back in his chair and putting his hands up in a defensive gesture. "First of all, I don't take prisoners. Never have. I watch my prey, and when the time is right, I pull the trigger. I don't believe in torture. Although," he paused for dramatic effect and rubbed his jaw, "for you, I may reconsider that." River rolled her eyes at him. "How about this?" she offered. "Quid pro quo. Why are you in hell?" One of the many things River could do was see a soul's final destination. Hell was not where Lucas was supposed to be. The wolf shrugged. "I'm a killer." "I see," River said with a thoughtful nod. "So working for Ash is what? A way out of your punishment for the lives you took? You don't mess around with the pleasantries, do you?" Lucas asked her. "Not exactly. He offered me the job. I figured I was going to hell one way or the other. At least this way, I'm not a demon snack on a daily basis." He shuddered inwardly as he remembered his little trip to murder. It was not a place he wanted to see again anytime soon. "You can't really think that by working for Ash, you can erase your sins, do you?" she asked. Her eyes were intelligent and piercing. Lucas shook his head. No, I don't, but it puts it off for a while, I guess. Then he shifted his weight to lean his elbows on the table. From the look on her face, River did not approve. Good. Your turn. Lucifer is your father. Who is your mother? I don't know, she answered him honestly. He never said, and I never looked. All I know is that she was an angel. So that makes you an angel, Lucas said, looking over her shoulder. Where's the wings? Can I see them? River snorted. No, I haven't used them since I was banished. I want nothing to do with that life anymore. Is that why you won't help us? He asked her. River nodded. I don't have a dog in that fight anymore, she said. It is not my problem. Lucas could see the sadness in her eyes. This woman thought she didn't care, but the truth was, she did. He wouldn't push her on it, though. She was stubborn at best, and he knew if he pushed her too far, he would get nothing from her. If he got nothing from her, then he would likely never see her again. The thought was crushing to him, and his wolf howled in protest. No, he was going to have to find a way to keep her around and ease her into her role. And what exactly was her role? He didn't know. All he knew was that Ash wanted to talk to her, and Lucas wanted her, for other reasons. Would you at least go and talk to Ash? He finally asked her. He gave me an assignment. If I come back empty-handed, I don't know what he might do to me. He seems pretty reasonable, but hell, who knows? I don't know about that, she said, draining the last of her coffee. You would at least be keeping me from failing at my first assignment, he offered. He stuck out his bottom lip and conjured the best puppy dog eyes he could. River barked out a laugh and then covered it with a cough. Yeah, I guess, she told him, but I'm still not helping. Wonderful, Lucas exclaimed, getting up from his chair and moving to stand behind her. What are you doing? She demanded, as his arms went around her waist from behind. She stood to protest, but his grip only got stronger. I'm making sure you don't change your mind, Lucas whispered in her ear, and then he flashed them both to hell. Chapter 7 Balthazar wiped the side of his mouth as he rose up from his meal. This one was spicy, he said with a sadistic grin. Get me another! He watched in satisfaction as the demons he had set free scampered to remove the remains of the Hispanic woman and fetch him another one. As a high-level demon, Balthazar had enough power to control any and all lesser demons he chose. By opening the gates of hell, he had effectively gathered himself an army. No demon could resist freedom. He had known this when he opened the portal, and the demons who had made it out before Ash and his guard sealed it up were grateful. They were all too happy to be at his beck and call, and not just out of gratitude. Balthazar had opened the portal and let them out. He could reasonably put them back in. Of course, the demon had no intentions of doing that, but the lower demons didn't need to know that little tidbit. At first, his only wish was to be free of his prison cell. Now that the demon was out, Balthazar remembered how much fun it had been to play with the humans. Already, he had a list forming of wonderful things he intended to do. The world was full of evil, and Balthazar couldn't wait to exploit it. Politicians were easily swayed and could easily be bought. Gangbangers and mobsters were at an all-time high population. Hell, he could start a war if he wanted to. But first, Balthazar had to get the new leader of hell off his back. The portal was supposed to be a distraction that should have kept the leader busy for centuries. Who knew the fucker had such good connections? The damn team of warrior angels that were constantly guarding it was making it easy for Ash to scry for him. Ash. What the fuck kind of name was that for the King of Hell? Balthazar shook his head. Good name or bad, the man was getting closer to him. Every day Ash and his band of misfit angels used Shelley's blood to scry for Balthazar. Each time, they got a little bit closer. It was getting tiresome having to keep on the move all the time. If he hadn't been so powerful, Balthazar would have been caught already. But he could sense the spell that would lead the angels to him. Therefore, he wasted no time picking up and leaving. Balthazar had no doubt that he could take the angel, but with the help of his guard, it was damned hard. They had powers, heavenly powers, powers that Balthazar couldn't compete with, not when they were all together. No, he was going to have to handle that guard if he was going to have anything resembling peace. But first, he was going to have to separate them. If he hadn't killed the witch, he could have asked for her help. Too bad that she died along with her human companions when the portal opened. Stupid humans. He had not anticipated the power Ash and his angels had, nor had he anticipated the warrior angel that was helping him. Ash was searching for him. Balthazar was sure of that. But if he created enough drama on Earth, perhaps he could stretch the angels thin enough to destroy them, one by one. Chapter 8. River didn't have time to protest the wolf's abduction. One minute she was engaging in polite conversation. The next, she was standing in hell. "What the hell?" she demanded, as he finally let her go. "You can't just go around abducting people." Lucas shrugged. "You agreed to come," he reminded her. He forced himself not to think about the way her slim body felt pressed up against his. Just those few seconds was enough to send his libido into overdrive. He knew without a doubt that River was his. His. He was going to claim her. Just not until the mess in hell had been cleaned up. First things first, he thought. "Where is Ash anyway?" he asked, more to himself than not. "How should I know?" she retorted back at him, her voice a full octave higher than it had been before. "Stay here," Lucas commanded her. "I'll go get him, and then after you talk, you can go." He stared her down with those wonderful eyes before turning to stalk away from her. River watched as his wings swayed with each step the man took. She sighed heavily to herself. "Ah, but to watch him go," she thought. "Too bad he needs a lesson in manners. You just can't make people do what you want." It just didn't work like that. She didn't want to be there, and in no way did she agree to go to hell to talk to Ash. She said she would talk to him. That was all. That wolf, as nice as he was to look at, wasn't going to get away with acting like a caveman with her. As soon as he was out of sight, River flashed herself out of hell and back to her castle. Lucas and Ash flashed into the cavern where River was supposed to be waiting for them. "Well," Ash asked him, "where is she?" "She was right here," Lucas told him. "I literally just left her 1 minute ago. I can smell her." Ash looked around the empty cavern skeptically. "And where do you think she has gone off to?" he asked with a raised brow. "Because she isn't here now." Lucas sniffed the air. Her scent was all over him, and he had to tamper down the wave of satisfaction he felt because of it. It was one flash, not a claiming ceremony. It took him a minute before he was able to distinguish the scent on his clothing from what was lingering in the air. But finally, he got it. He moved around the cavern in an attempt to see which way River had gone, but wasn't having any luck. "You're not going to be able to track her like that," Ash told Lucas with a half smile. "I don't understand," Lucas admitted. "Where could she have gone?" A short chuckle escaped Ash's throat before he was able to squash it. "I have this ability to just know things. I don't know why or how, but I know. This woman, this daughter of evil, is not evil herself. I can sense it. I can sense that she is already more than an assignment to you. I can sense many things. Just like I know that she can flash, and she flashed out of hell. She isn't here anymore." "Son of a bitch," Lucas snarled. "Why would she leave?" "Beats me," Ash said with a shrug of his massive shoulders. "But you better get to finding her. You know those things I can sense? Well, one of those things is that we need her. I don't know how yet, but she is important." Lucas nodded in agreement. "Yes, she is," he muttered. "I trust that you can keep your personal feelings out of this while you are getting her to cooperate with us," Ash asked Lucas. His wolf growled. River wasn't just important. She was everything. There was no way he could keep his personal feelings out of it. "I can't promise that," he answered his new leader, "but I can try." Ash watched his newest recruit with a speculative eye. Wolves were loyal to a fault, and this one was no different. If Ash wanted River brought back to hell, Lucas would get her there. But would she stay? He wondered if he was going to lose a guard when this was over with. "Might I make a suggestion?" Ash asked him. "Appeal to her as a woman and not as an assignment. Women are cagey creatures, and I have discovered that if you treat her right, you might just have more luck." "Oh, don't you worry," Lucas growled. "She's coming back. I'll make damn sure of it." Ash couldn't help but grin as he watched the wolf stalk off before finally flashing to the main caverns. There was an important meeting going on, and Ash was the guest of honor. At least, he thought, they couldn't start without him. Ash stayed off to the side and watched with satisfaction as his employees, demon and human souls alike, gathered in the main caverns. Ash had a love-hate relationship with the way he felt about being the head honcho sometimes. On the one hand, he loved that he was powerful and that the whole of hell bowed to his will. On the other hand, he hated the same thing. Power was something that required a huge amount of self-control and responsibility. He could easily see how the powerful could give in to temptation and fall on the side of evil. He tried not to use the power he had been gifted for anything personal, except to protect Elizabeth. She was the one who kept Ash grounded. Elizabeth was more than Ash's mate. She was his saving grace, his soulmate, his everything. He suspected that was what River was going to be to Lucas, even if the wolf didn't know it yet. I would say a penny for your thoughts, but let's be realistic. I ain't paying nobody, Antonio's familiar voice said from behind Ash. He turned to face the angel. I was just lost in my own damned head, Ash told him. When Antonio smiled his signature grin at him, Ash returned the gesture. When they first met, Ash had considered killing Antonio more than once. He was the most irritating, sarcastic, self-absorbed asshole Ash had ever met. After some time, Ash realized that Antonio was also loyal, kind, and a fine warrior. I guess we better get this over with. Antonio clapped Ash on the back and walked with him to the podium that had been set up. As Ash took his place, Antonio slipped off to the side, where Lacey and Jake were already waiting. Thank you all for coming, Ash said loud enough so that everyone would hear him. As you all know, we have had a bit of a situation. The crowd of demons settled into silence while he talked. First, I want to thank all of you who did not make a move to escape. Balthazar is dangerous, not just to the human world, but to ours as well. Those who escaped with him will be punished. I have asked you all to come today to ask for your help. I have done my best to be a fair leader, and I want a show of your loyalty now. The demons began to bow, and Ash rolled his eyes. He fucking hated it when they did that. That wasn't what I meant, he grumbled. Then he held his head up high and raised his voice. I want to assemble 3 teams to go to Earth and bring those who have betrayed us back. Each team will be made up of 1 guard and 4 demons. I want all who are interested to see Michaela at the desk. She has a questionnaire for you to fill out. When it is done, I will choose the applicants to go. He paused for a moment and then continued. I hate that I must say this, but any demon who is chosen and attempts to cause harm to any human, to my guard, or who tries to escape, will be punished, and the penalty will be severe. He heard whispers and murmurs ripple throughout the crowd. Ash knew just as well as everyone else what kind of punishment he could dole out. They had all witnessed it for themselves when 2 demons had hurt his Elizabeth. It hadn't been pretty. In fact, it had been the kind of show one does not easily forget. Hell, Ash had nightmares about it himself for quite some time, until he accepted what kind of power he had been given. Thank you. That is all, he said finally, turning and stalking away. Nicely done, boss, Jake said as he fell in line behind Ash. Do you think Lucas is ready for a team? Ash glared over his shoulder at Jake. I wasn't planning on giving him a team just yet, Ash answered. But if I did, I have no doubt that he could handle it. He was a Marine. I think he would be just fine. Yeah, but leading Marines and leading demons are 2 different animals, Jake continued. Marines in your own platoon are not likely to shoot you in the back. Ash nodded in agreement. True, but Lucas is special. Not only is he military trained, he's a wolf. His senses are much more sensitive than ours. He would smell the deception before the demon in question ever got close. It's a moot point anyhow, because right now, all I want is for him to get that woman and get her back here. Jake knew that woman was River. Even though Ash hadn't said anything about it, he got the feeling that Lucas had more than a professional interest in her. He saw it in the wolf's eyes back in Ash's office. He all but had his tongue hanging out of his mouth. She was pretty. Even Jake could see that. But in his opinion, she didn't come close to comparing with his demon. Jake couldn't wait until Shelley could be free from her cage. The damned witch wasn't talking, and Balthazar was still on the loose. Not for long, Jake vowed to himself. He would do his job and round up the escaped demons, one way or another. But if he caught sight or smell of that fucker father of hers, he was going to kill him. Jake would do anything to get his mate back in his bed, where she belonged. Chapter 9. Lucas had a feeling that Ash was right. He had decided to check Hell thoroughly before going back to Earth to look for River. Now he was doubting his decision. It had absolutely nothing to do with the whisper of tiny minion feet scampering all around him in the shadows. It had nothing to do with the pull he felt from murder. Really? Okay, maybe it did a little bit. But it was more that he couldn't sense her. Lucas couldn't feel her. It was strange, really. Even though he had barely interacted with the woman, Lucas could feel her life force deep inside him. He had known the second she split for greener pastures, too, even if he wasn't ready to admit it. He stomped along the dark corridor, noticing the way the soles of his boots stuck to the floor. Lucas got the impression that if he stood still for too long, his shoes would melt. That wasn't as bad as the sound of gnashing teeth and the skittering of the minions he knew without a doubt would feast on his flesh if given the opportunity. There was no false sense of security. Lucas knew without a doubt that if he was eaten, there was nothing anyone could do to save him, not even Ash. His best bet was to keep moving. Lucas walked with a purpose, as if he had a destination in mind. Truth be told, he had no idea where he was, and that scared the hell out of him. His heart hammered away in his chest, harder with every step he took. It was then that he remembered that he could flash. Lucas barely resisted the urge to slap himself on the forehead. He even swallowed the sarcastic duh that threatened to leave his lips. With a deep breath to steady himself, Lucas concentrated on River. Wherever she was, that was where he wanted to go. He ignored the sounds of approaching minions and focused. The magic inside him gathered, and Lucas flashed himself out of Hell. When Lucas opened his eyes, he was surrounded by lush green hills and trees. He'd expected to land in the podunk little town where he had found River before, but this was completely different. The air smelled different, cleaner. He listened for the sounds of passing traffic, but heard none. All he heard was the sounds of small animals scurrying in the brush, and the breeze as it rustled the leaves on the trees. Even without those glaringly obvious conditions, Lucas's sixth sense told him he was very far from the small town. He wasn't even in the United States. Where exactly he had landed was a mystery, though. He didn't want anyone to see him just yet, so Lucas concentrated on making himself invisible and began to trudge forward through the unfamiliar territory. He walked at a brisk pace, taking in all the scents in this new place. He had never been here before. He would have recognized something. He knew he could take flight, but he was loath to do so, just in case he missed River's trail. The air was crisp and clean, and Lucas sniffed it often. His brain was high on all the clean air, but he kept his mind on his task. He could feel that River was close, and there was a strange pull in his chest, telling him which way to go. After only a few minutes of walking, Lucas crested the top of a hill and saw what he was looking for. About a mile ahead, there was a huge castle. Its stone walls were a worn gray, but it seemed to be in good condition. Four towers marked the corners of the structure, and a wide terrace on the front side beckoned him to come closer. This was where he would find her. His mate was in that castle. Lucas approached slowly, knowing there was no way he could get close enough without alerting her. River was stronger than she let on, he knew, and probably had powers he could only dream about. It would serve no purpose for him to try and sneak in, but what was he supposed to do? Walk right up and ring the bell? Did castles even have bells? His train of thought completely derailed when he got close enough to see the balcony clearly. River was standing there, leaning on the stone, her hair moving in the breeze freely around her. She was wearing something that looked like a kimono wrap around her slim body. It, too, moved with the breeze. She was the most beautiful sight he had ever had the privilege of beholding. Lucas couldn't see the expression on her face, but he knew she was worrying over something. He didn't wonder what, though. Hell, pick a subject, he thought. It didn't matter to him what was causing her worry, just that something was making her unhappy. The urge to go to her and wrap her in his arms was damn near overwhelming, and Lucas flashed to her side without thinking. He was standing next to her, studying the lines around her frown. That expression did nothing to diminish her incredible beauty, but Lucas didn't want to see it there nonetheless. Her eyes moved over the landscape without really seeing any of it. He wondered what was on her mind, and how could he ease it? But of course he already knew, didn't he? She was worrying about what was going on in hell. She said she didn't want to help, and he believed her. What Lucas didn't believe was that she would not do it. If he found the right way to ask her, he was sure she would help. River did not seem like the sort to punish the innocent for the sins of a few. Her father had been an asshole. Everyone knew that. Lucas knew that if he could convince her to give Ash a chance, she would come back to hell. If he could convince her to give him a chance. As he reached out to touch her face, that was when it occurred to him. She had not seen him yet. He could not pass up the opportunity to observe her without worrying about whether or not she was going to bolt on him. He slowly pulled his hand back and pushed it into his back pocket. What secrets did this woman hold, he wondered. What is it that she is hiding? Lucas knew he was going to find out all of her secrets. It was only a matter of time. The pull he felt toward her was unmistakable. She was his. If only his mother could see him now. How many times had she asked him when he was going to find a nice she-wolf and settle down and give her grandbabies? River wasn't a she-wolf, but Lucas was certain she had fangs and claws. Maybe not the kind you could see, but they were there. There was a strength about her that even she could not hide. Not a supernatural strength, although that was there as well, but an inner strength, the kind that made her a survivor. The wind picked up slightly and blew her scent across his face. Lucas inhaled deeply, allowing her essence to settle over him, inside of him. River picked her head up and looked around suspiciously. Her brow furrowed over those incredible eyes as she inspected the space where Lucas was standing. He held his breath, but he knew he had been caught. River pressed her lips together and narrowed her eyes. "I don't know how you're doing it, but I know you're there, Wolf." She turned fully to face him and put her hands on her hips. "I currently do not have an opening for a professional stalker right now, and you suck at it anyway. Show yourself." Lucas couldn't have stopped the shit-eating grin that split across his face, even if he had tried. His woman was sharp, that was for sure. He willed himself to be visible in front of her, and took great pleasure in the way her eyes widened slightly and her heart skipped a beat. She covered her response to him immediately, but it was too late. Lucas had picked up on it. She was feeling it too, the mating call, even if she didn't know what it was. River hated that man. Not only was he determined, irritating, and smug, but he was too damn pretty to look at. Although she would never admit to anyone, even herself, she had secretly hoped that he would follow her when she left hell. She had no idea if he would be able to find her in Scotland, but apparently he could. She had even called on her muted magic to hide herself. Damn her father and his punishments. If she had been at full power, there was no way the stray wolf would have been able to track her. "What do you want?" she demanded. "I told you. I want you to talk to Ash," Lucas reminded her. "Why did you leave?" River shook her head. "I don't belong there," she replied. "That is no longer my home." "Darlin'," Lucas said, reaching out and taking her hand in his own, "I have a feeling that you belong any damn where you want to be." River pressed her lips into a fine line to avoid smiling at his charming antics. "Why did you have to be so fucking charming?" "I said I would talk to Ash," River reminded him. "I never agreed to going to hell to do it. Ash can come here." She yanked her hand away from him. She didn't want to feel the warmth radiating off of the man. "And I never agreed to your tactics on getting me there either. You can't just go around kidnapping people. Stop following me around like a stray dog." A laugh bubbled up from Lucas's chest before he could stop it. "Okay," he conceded. "I was wrong. Let me try again. River, it would be most considerate of you to come back to hell with me in order to speak to my leader. He is quite busy right now, as you probably know, and requests your presence in his office. Would you please allow me to escort you there?" He placed his hand over his heart and turned those eyes on her, pleading puppy dog eyes. "Really?" River groaned. "I will give your boss one day," she agreed. "No more." The smile he gave her was enough to make her weak in the knees, but River held her head high. "Great," he damn near shouted. "Let's go." He made a move to take her hand again, but she was ready for him this time. "Well, I have to touch you to take you with me," he gently reminded her. River shook her head. "I can get myself there," she replied. "I know the way." With his next breath, River was gone. Lucas couldn't help but detect the note of sadness in her voice, and his wolf snarled inside of him. What had her father done? If the bastard wasn't already dead, Lucas thought. He would kill him just for sport. He hated that his mate was hurting, and there was no one for him to exact revenge on for it. He didn't have a clue about females and their emotions, but he decided right then that he was going to learn. He was going to heal that hole in her heart, whether she liked it or not. Chapter 10. Lucas had flashed himself immediately to Ash. He had thought, just maybe, that River had done the same. He found his new boss in the caverns, holding a meeting. What he did not find was River. He didn't want to interrupt the meeting, so he flashed himself to Ash's office, where he saw her. She was doing exactly as she said she would do. Wait. Lucas didn't want to jinx it, so he left again without alerting her to his presence. He went back to the caverns and stood on the sidelines while Ash spoke. He knew better than to interrupt his superior, so he stood at attention like the good soldier he was. It was damned hard, though, to not bounce on the balls of his feet like an excited child. "You have all been chosen, based on your skills and your loyalty," Ash was saying to the small group of demons gathered in the cavern. "My guards will each pick 4 of you to join them. The assignment is to divide and conquer. We must find and bring back all of the escaped demons. You are to deal with them in any way necessary."
"Sir," one of the demons said, "must we return the traitors alive?"
Ash stared down the demon, debating the answer he would give. "No," he finally answered, "but I do want each and every one of them accounted for. Destroy them if necessary, but bring back the ones you can. I will deal with their punishment when they arrive." He paused for a moment and then continued. "Know this, any of you who try to deflect or escape will be dealt with harshly and swiftly." Whispers and murmurs spread through the small gathering. Each of them knew what kind of power Ash was capable of, and none of them wanted to be on the receiving end of his anger. They had all witnessed it, live and in living terror, when Ash's mate had been taken and hurt. No one dared face off with him. At least, not any of the ones who stayed behind when Balthazar opened the portal. No, they had a better sense of self-preservation than that. Ash began pointing at demons. "Mori, Sodom, Callus, Fragoris, you will all go with Jake. Payne, Richmus, Farrell, Tom, all of you are with Lacey. The rest of you will go with Antonio and I. Lacey will take the north, Jake will take the east. We will cover the rest. I don't care what is going on, you will all check in at regular intervals. I have set up the prison sanction to accept any demons you return with. Bring them in one at a time. If you need help, call for it. Any questions?" Everyone nodded and paired up with their respective guard. Then Ash turned to Lucas. "Did you find her?" he asked. "Yes, sir," Lucas answered. He resisted the urge to salute. Some habits die hard. "She's waiting in your office. She's a spunky one, that one," he said. "We better hurry before she jumps ship again." Ash felt the corners of his mouth twitch. He would not smile, not in front of all these demons. "You're afraid she might run?" he asked Lucas. Lucas let out a sigh. "It wasn't easy getting her in here in the first place. She's got a strong head, and is stubborn as a mule." Ash nodded, and his black-as-night wings twitched behind him. "Let's go, then," Ash agreed. "There are things I want to know about this woman." "You and me both," Lucas agreed, as he turned to follow his new CO. Chapter 11. River knew exactly where she needed to go, and flashed herself directly into Ash's office. The new leader, of course, was not there. She took a moment to look around the room. It was all too familiar to her, yet was so different as well. Her father had been very much into the gloom and doom look, whereas this new guy was not. There were no skulls on the desk, but instead, a photograph in a frame of a blonde woman and a man. She wondered briefly who could be so important to Ash that they would deserve the only photo spot on his desk. There was no one being tortured and no sex slave standing by. There was, however, 2 cages in the office. In one cage, there was a woman, a small cot, and nothing else, save for the tray of food she had been given. In the other cage was another woman. This one had a complete bedroom in her cage and curtains for privacy. River knew who she was by the intense color of her red and blonde hair. "Shelley," she said, "what are you doing in there?" The demon shrugged and then gave River a genuine smile. "Long time no see," she said sweetly. "I'm in here for my own protection." She gave River a quick rundown of the situation that landed her in the cage in the first place. "Wow, that stinks," River commented. They made small talk for a few minutes, and then River planted herself in Ash's chair, the chair her father used to sit in. How many times had she sat in this very chair in her past? Too many. River had hated it. Her father's evil permeated everything he had touched, and his chair was no different. He used to make her sit in it while he lectured her about all the things she wasn't doing right, as if he thought the evil would sink into her skin through osmosis. If she were truthful with herself, River had feared that very thing. She dreaded the time in the chair. But now, as she sat comfortably in the oversized chair, all River felt was the impression of love. The man who sat there in her father's place had a lot of love in his soul. Although she couldn't honestly say that she had loved her father, he had been all she knew. He was the only caregiver River ever had. A part of her felt his loss, but at the same time she was relieved. That, of course, had her wondering just what was wrong with her. What kind of person was relieved when their father died? Her attention was drawn by the women in the cages, and River welcomed the distraction. Shelley watched intently as Laura carefully picked up her chicken salad sandwich. The witch inspected it carefully before raising it to her mouth. "You sure you want to eat that?" Shelley asked with a skeptical look on her face. Laura stopped, her mouth opened and poised to take a bite. She slowly pulled the sandwich back from her face and looked at Shelley. "Why wouldn't I?" she asked. Shelley shrugged. "I didn't know you liked bugs," she said calmly. Laura looked back at her sandwich. And where she had seen chopped chicken, grapes, apples, and mayo a moment before, now the space between the two slices of bread was overflowing with assorted insects. Flies, maggots, roaches, and spiders were spilling out of her sandwich like the plague of locusts. "Gross!" Laura shouted, dropping the sandwich back to the plate. She scooted back to the furthest corner of her cage, desperately trying to control the dry heaves. "Oh," Shelley said, "you don't want it then." Laura glared at her. "Okay then, you won't mind if I enjoy it." Shelley reached through the bars and pulled the plate over to her side. She picked up the sandwich and looked it over. "Mmm, I love chicken salad," she said as she took a large bite. "Mmm," Shelley moaned. She saw the horrified look on Laura's face and barely contained her own laughter. "What? That's disgusting," Laura grumbled. "Nonsense," Shelley waved her off. "It's just chicken." She held the sandwich out so that Laura could see that there was nothing wrong with the food. Laura shook her head in disbelief. "You're a sadistic bitch," she mumbled. "Hmm, what did you expect?" Shelley asked around a mouthful of Laura's lunch. "I'm a demon." River covered the chuckle that rose up with a cough. "Yeah, she was messed up. Do you know when Ash might be back?" she asked Shelley. "Nope," she answered around her food. "They're rounding up the posse to go and fetch some demons that escaped." River began inspecting everything on the desk in front of her. There wasn't much, just a laptop, a phone, the photo, and a couple of folders. Nothing to write home about. What was with this guy? And why was he keeping the demon of greed locked up? Why didn't he just use his power to protect her? Why is he keeping you locked up like an animal? Why doesn't this new guy, Ash, use his power to protect you? She asked out loud. "Not sure," she replied. "I don't think he can, or if he can, he doesn't realize it. Either way, this bitch beside me can't hurt me or use me to hurt anyone else." "What if I could help?" River asked. "I don't have all my power, but I think I can manage a simple cloaking spell. Want to give it a try?" "I don't know," Shelley told her. "I think it might piss Ash off. Don't get me wrong, I'm all about being out of here and back in my realm and back with my mate, but he's scary when he's mad." River shrugged. "I'm not afraid." "Well, give it a go if you think it will work." River stood and walked over to the cage that held Shelley. She waved her hand and the door opened easily. "Come out," she said, and Shelley obeyed. River placed her hand on Shelley's shoulder and let her power, although muted, wash over them both. "Wow," Shelley breathed. "I can feel it around me." River cocked her head to the side and smiled. "Glad I can help." "You know, they're going to want to test this," Shelley said. "So be it," River agreed. "I would expect nothing less." She looked around the room one more time. "Time is up. I promised one day, and that has expired now. Did you tell Lucas you meant an Earth Day?" Shelley asked. "No," River admitted. "But what fun is it if I tell him everything?" Shelley grinned at the woman in front of her. "I always did like you." "Be well," River said before flashing herself away and back to her castle, knowing full well that Lucas would definitely follow. Chapter 12. Lucas stood there with his mouth open for longer than he cared to admit. He was in Ash's office. Shelley was out of her cage. And, of course, River was gone. Why couldn't that woman just stay put? Someone elbowed him in the ribs, and Lucas snapped back to attention. "Did you hear me?" Ash was asking him. "Where is she?" Lucas took a deep breath and shook his head. "I don't know. She was here. I saw her." "Oh, she left," Shelley said with a grin. "Not that I am not happy to see you out, love, but why are you out?" Jake said as he took his mate into his arms. She kissed him lightly on the nose before answering him. "River let me out. She said she protected me with her magic, and now no one can get to me." "Is that even possible?" Ash demanded. "Who does she think she is, undoing my magic?" "It's okay," Elizabeth said, taking her mate by the arm and leading him to his chair. "I don't know much of anything about her, but I'm sure that Shelley wouldn't have come out of the cage if that weren't the case." "It is the case," Shelley assured them. "When River was here, before she was banished, she was pretty powerful. I can feel her magic surrounding me like a chastity belt for the whole body. Nothing magical is getting in here." Ash's head snapped in her direction. "You knew her too and didn't say anything," he barked at Shelley. "Why are all of my people keeping shit from me?" The demon shrugged. "You didn't ask me." Ash rolled his eyes, then he stood up. "From now on, no one keeps anything from me. I don't care if you think it may not be important. I probably will. Any questions?" He should have known better. Right then, Antonio decided to finally do as he was told. "Well, this morning I woke up sweating, had coffee, and then had a nice poop. Do you need to know what color it was? Oh, and I made a quick trip to see my mate, and while I was there..." "Stop!" Ash bellowed. "You know full well what I mean." "Oh, sorry," Antonio grinned at him. "Do you even have a serious bone in your body?" Ash grumbled as he sat back in his chair. "Let me check," Antonio said with all seriousness. He rolled his eyes toward the ceiling as if taking a mental inventory. "Nope, sorry." Ash scrubbed his hand over his face. "Lucas," he barked. "Yes, sir," Lucas said, standing a little bit taller. "I swear she was here." "I know that," Ash grumbled. "You know what to do." Lucas nodded. Just as he was preparing to flash away, Ash stopped him. "And this time, find some way to keep her ass here. Keep your hands on her. Restrain her if you have to." Yeah, he was going to keep his hands on her. He knew exactly what he was going to do when he found her again. Lucas flashed himself away from Ash's office and back to the castle where he could feel his mate. In the blink of an eye, Lucas was standing in front of the huge stone structure. She was in there. He could feel her. But it wasn't just her presence he could feel. Lucas could feel his mate's warring emotions. This was new to him. It was normal for mated wolves to be very in tune with each other's thoughts and feelings, but he had not marked her yet. But hey, what did he know? He was an angel now, and all that mattered was that River was upset about something. He wanted to crush whatever it was that was making her anything less than blissful. But at the same time, Lucas knew that he and Hell were a huge part of her troubles. He didn't know that because of some kind of intuition, but because one would have to be a complete idiot not to realize it. The urge to go to her was undeniable. Lucas flashed himself into her home and immediately sat by her side. "You left again," he said softly. "I said one day," she replied without looking at him. "Something is wrong," Lucas said, pointing out the obvious. "Nothing for you to worry over," she answered. "Is it this whole mess with Hell?" Lucas asked her. "Because once we figure out how to put all the demons back, it won't be so bad. But we need your help." "Is that all you think is wrong?" River barked out, a short, humorless laugh. "You got way more problems than that, Wolfman." Lucas took her hand and held it in his own. "Then tell me," he urged her. "Tell me what is going on. I just woke up one day, dead as can be, and then I was given wings and told to find you. I don't know what I'm doing here. All I know is that Ash thinks you're important, and I agree with him. We need you. I need you. Why won't you help us?" River pulled her hand back and used it to push her hair off her shoulder. She let out a long breath and then turned her eyes to Lucas. "I don't belong there anymore," she said. "When I left, I lost most of my power. Even if I wanted to help you, I couldn't. Ash can do it. He can close the portal. I think if he could, he would have done it already, Lucas said. He doesn't seem the type to wait around. In fact, I fear my job will be forfeit if you don't come back and talk with him. I just want you to be happy. You were happy when you were talking to Shelley. I saw it. I want to see it again. That was different, she grumbled. I don't think it is, Lucas reminded her. You freed Shelley and protected her with your magic. So? She asked. So? Lucas continued. You overrode Ash's power. No one else can do that. I wouldn't have been able to if he had doubled back his protection spell. It was like hacking a computer. All I had to do was find the back door in, and then it was easy. I'm surprised no one had tried it yet, especially that witch beside her. I'm pretty sure Ash bound her powers, Lucas told her, and I think you have more power than you want to admit. I can feel it rolling off of you, among other things. River's head snapped up and she stared at him. What other things? Lucas leaned back on the plush seat and linked his fingers behind his head. Well, he said with a smile, I can feel that you were afraid. Of what, I can't say. You're sad, too. Heartbroken for some reason. And then there is the lust. What lust? She asked with annoyance in her voice. I don't feel any lust. Lucas made a show of smelling the air, breathing her scent deep into his lungs. You forget, sweetheart, I'm a wolf. I have an excellent sense of smell, and you smell like lust. River rolled her eyes at him. Who did this wolf think he was? So what if she found him attractive? That didn't mean she was lusting after him. She eyed his wide chest, noticing how the soft material of his t-shirt stretched over the muscles. Oh, who was she kidding? She was lusting after this man like a horny teenager. I did meet a nice-looking man today at the market, she said. The growl that came from him was as inhuman as anything she had ever heard. She leaned forward and narrowed his eyes at her, daring her to say more. It was intimidating, scary even, but it was also the hottest fucking thing she had witnessed in more years than she could remember. Calm down, wolf man, she grinned. I was just teasing you. You're coming back with me, he growled at her. You were talking to Ash and getting this whole damn thing over with. I'm done playing your games. River got prepared to snort in defiance at him, but he had her in his arms and was flashing back to hell before she ever got the chance. Chapter 13. They landed in hell, right in front of Lucas's sleeping quarters. Without letting go of her, he kicked the door open and carried her inside. He kicked the door closed again and went to the corner of the room, where a stool magically appeared. He had been thinking he needed one, and there it was. He sat her down on it and backed up. She was not getting away this time. Lucas was tired of her games, and he wasn't going to play anymore. It was time to get serious. Ash's words bounced around in his head, and Lucas knew he was going to keep her there by any means necessary. She was going to be pissed, but she would get over it. He hoped. That woman was going to be the second death of him. He stalked in front of her, back and forth, like the predator he was. She was doing her best to look uninterested, but he knew better. He might be an angel now, but he still had all of his wolf senses. In fact, his wolf was still with him. He could feel the beast inside of him, pacing and growling at him, to just take his mate. Lucas didn't dare take his eyes off her. She had already split twice, and he was not about to let it happen a third time. She sat on the cushioned stool, her long legs crossed and her hair draped over her shoulder. Her posture said relaxed, but her eyes tracked his every move, daring him to come closer, wanting him to come closer. River watched the angel prowl like a caged animal. She knew he wanted her, and as much as she hated to admit it, she wanted him right back. His blue eyes were nearly iridescent in the low light, and she loved it. His face was stern, his lips pressed into a thin line, and that adorable little scar over his eye wrinkled and became more prominent. Every now and again, he would bare his fangs in her direction. It was all she could do not to visibly shiver at the sight. He was powerful, beautiful, confident. But that was going to be his downfall too, wasn't it? He was too confident. He thought he had her by the balls. But the truth was, she had only stayed this long to see what he would do. So what are you going to do with me? She asked sweetly. He looked her body up and down before answering her. River could swear she could feel the touch of his eyes sweeping over her skin, as if it were those large, calloused hands.
I'm not sure. I might have to tie your ass to something. Rivers smiled at him.
Ooh, bondage, she cooed.
Lucas moved quickly to stand in front of her. He bent down until they were nose to nose.
Don't tempt me, he growled.
He felt some measure of satisfaction when her chest rose with her sharp intake of breath. She smelled so good.
Perhaps it is you that should not tempt me, she said back, without breaking eye contact.
Gorgeous eyes. Fucking gorgeous. I'm not afraid, he said softly. He leaned in closer and drew her scent deep into his lungs.
Neither am I, she said breathlessly.
He was so close. Her lips parted without her consent. Lucas saw her lips part and her little pink tongue darted out to lick them.
Just one taste, he told himself as he moved in closer. Just one taste.
He brushed his lips across hers, just a whisper of a touch, and he had every intention of just teasing her desires. But as soon as the connection was made, little electric jolts spread from his lips down his throat and all over his body. She was soft and pliable to him, and he sucked her lip into his mouth. Her taste was extraordinary, and he had to have more. He pushed his tongue into her mouth, and he was lost. Her hand snaked into his short hair, and she dragged him close to her. She sucked his tongue further into her mouth, and Lucas groaned. He might live in hell, but her mouth was heaven. He ran his hands down her arms and back up again, angling his head for better contact. She uncrossed her legs, and Lucas settled his body down on his knees between hers. River had not expected her body to have such a powerful reaction to Lucas, but there it was just the same. She couldn't get him close enough to her as he went from kissing her softly to ravaging her mouth like a starved man. She welcomed his body between her legs, and she wrapped them around him to hold him to her. He tasted like coffee and cigarettes and chocolate, all of her favorite things. But under that, he had his own taste that was musky and all male. She gripped his broad shoulders and dug her nails into his skin when he moved his mouth from hers and down her neck. He peppered her skin with tiny nibbles and kisses, making her every nerve come alive. She arched backward on her seat and would have fallen off, but he was prepared for her. He pushed the chair back against the wall to support her back while never taking his lips off her skin. Lucas had pushed himself closer to her, and she could feel the ridge behind the fly of his jeans against her leg. It was all too much, and yet not nearly enough at the same time. He rocked his hips against her, and River couldn't stop the moan of pleasure that escaped her lips.
"I need to see you," he said against the skin of her neck.
"Yes," she said in a hoarse whisper. Lucas gently pulled the straps of her tank top down around her arms, exposing her breasts to the cool air. Immediately, her already hardened nipples strained further toward him, begging for his attention. River hated that her body wanted him so badly, but she wasn't ready to stop it either.
"Beautiful," he said before dipping his head low and taking one diamond-hard nipple into his mouth.
He flicked his tongue back and forth over the hardened nub, then bit gently with his teeth.
"Yes," River cried out, tossing her head back and closing her eyes.
She held on to his shoulders with her nails, and he didn't seem to mind it at all, given the way he was grinding into her. Lucas lowered his hands and pushed her skirt up. He held her hip with one hand and slipped the other under the soft material. Lucas growled when he discovered that she wasn't wearing panties, and nothing was obstructing his path to her core. He brushed against her sensitive skin and was pleased with her sharp breath that followed. He rubbed circles around her clit, and then slid one thick finger inside her. At the same time, he turned the attention of his mouth to her other breast. He could taste her all day, he decided.
"So hot," he murmured, sucking the other nipple into his mouth.
Lucas could feel her body tightening around his hand, and he began to move faster. He jerked his arm back and forth, causing the chair to scoot slightly. Her mules were getting faster, and her breath was coming in quick pants.
He knew she was nearing the edge, so he pushed his thumb up to bump her clit with every stroke of his hand.
River felt her body coiling tightly. How long had it been since she had sex? She couldn't remember, but she was going to fix that immediately. She was going to ride this man until he couldn't think straight. He bit down on her nipple, and River broke. Waves of pleasure crashed over her body, and Lucas stayed with her while she rode them out.
As she was coming back to herself, she heard a tiny click and then another identical click. She opened her eyes and looked into the icy blue eyes of the wolf who had brought her such intense pleasure. "That was beautiful," he told her softly. "I'm sorry." River couldn't figure out why he would be sorry. That had been amazing. She tried to bring her arms up to hold his face in her hands, only to realize that she was cuffed to the pipes that ran along the corner of the room. He had tricked her. She narrowed her eyes at him as he stood before her. "I can't have you getting away again," he explained to her. All the pleasure and joy she had just found in this man drained out of her. He was only distracting her so that he could restrain her. She felt a fury building that had been born in her many years earlier when her father banished her to Earth. It was the fury of a woman scorned. It was the sting of betrayal. If he thought some cuffs and a pipe were going to hold her, he had another thing coming. Chapter 14. What kind of chaos should he cause first? Balthazar wondered to himself. This human world was full of sin and debauchery, and he couldn't decide where to start. He thought he would start small, an act of terror, or something simple like that. He glanced over to the television, where a news story about a car accident was playing. The sound had been turned off, but it was the same as every other pitiful human story. As he looked at the footage of a mangled SUV, an idea struck hard and fast. Balthazar grinned to himself and flashed himself to the west coast. The Earth's crust shifted and moved all the time. Humans rarely felt it, but it was there. Balthazar smiled wickedly to himself as he felt the fault line beneath his feet rumble. He looked around and was even more pleased. His demons had followed, just as he knew they would.
"You have been waiting for me and doing work for me, like the faithful minions you are. I am proud of you," he addressed them. "I think it is time for some fun."
The demons cheered, and the streetlights of Los Angeles flickered in the night.
"But first," Balthazar continued, "I have to have some fun of my own."
He lifted his arms by his sides and pushed the power within him outward to his fingertips. The ground rumbled again, this time louder.
"Just a little shake to wake up the city," he grinned, as he brought his hands together.
The clap was thunderous, and the ground shook beneath their feet. The demons jumped and hooted, loving the anticipation. The ground began to shake, and they cheered. A street lamp was the first to fall, and then it was a domino effect. Buildings began to sway, and then crumble under the force of the earthquake. The streets cracked, and even at night, cars were in the path of the destruction. They smashed into each other, and some fell through the openings the fault line created.
"Go forth!"
Balthazar shouted over the noise.
"Pillage and murder! Do your worst and enjoy it! But remember, keep it within the quake!"
A hideous cackle bubbled up from his throat as he watched his demons scamper away to wreak havoc on the city. The San Andreas Fault was an easy target, and Balthazar wondered if he might exploit the weakness again. No, he thought to himself, he would find something much, much better. The screams of humans was like music to his ears, as they became prey to the horde he had unleashed on them. His belly filled with satisfaction, and Balthazar flashed away to his next project. Balthazar materialized in Russia. The wet snow of winter stuck to his boots and made sloshing noises as he tromped through it. In a matter of seconds, his feet were going numb. This was unacceptable to a resident of hell. With the Kremlin in sight, Balthazar flashed himself the rest of the way to his destination. The president of Russia was unaware of the demon's presence as he typed away at his computer.
"You should really check on those Americans," Balthazar whispered to the man's soul. "You know it's true, Vlad. They never pulled back the peacekeeper research. In fact, there are two in orbit now, masquerading as satellites. The fallout would be detrimental to your people. These Americans have not earned your trust."
He watched with satisfaction as the president's eyes glazed over and his typing turned into a search for answers. When Balthazar materialized again, the weather was significantly different and it was daylight. He pulled his shirt over his nose to keep the sand out and moved forward into the small dwelling in front of him. Akmir was frantically researching, as he always did for his employer, always looking for the weakness the Americans would not show.
"Damned infidels," Balthazar whispered to the man's soul. godless creatures with no morale. They deserve everything they're about to get.
The terrorist's lips curled up at the corners when he saw what was displayed on his computer screen. This was what he had been searching for. His employer was going to be very pleased with him. Balthazar grinned and flashed away.
Hello, Simon,
Balthazar purred as he materialized in front of the vampire.
It's been too long, my friend.
Simon rolled his eyes and disengaged himself from the woman's throat that was serving as his dinner.
Run along now, and do not remember me,
he said to her, spelling her mind with his eyes. Then he turned his attention to the demon.
I am not your friend, he growled. When did you get out?
Balthazar leaned his massive body against the brick building and crossed his arms over his chest.
Now, is that any way to greet the demon who saved your ass?
Never gonna let that one go, are you? Simon snarled as he pulled his pack of cigarettes out of his pocket. He pulled one from the pack and placed it between his lips. Balthazar snapped his fingers, and a flame appeared at the tip of his thumb. He held it over to Simon, who lit his cigarette off it.
Not a chance!
Simon made a show of taking a long drag off the smoke and blowing the cloud into the air.
What do you want?
He asked, half afraid of the answer. Balthazar had saved his ass a long time ago. It was long before the time when paranormals could roam in the open, long before witches came out, before humans had even considered that vampires existed. Simon had taken a chance with a woman who he had thought to be his mate, but he had been mistaken. She loved him, of that he had no doubt. But she was loved by another man as well, one that was not very keen to let her go. Simon had told his love about his true nature, and she had accepted him as he was. The man, however, was not so understanding when he snuck into Simon's home and found them together, Simon's fangs buried deep in her neck. The fallout that ensued changed the way vampires lived forever. The book the man wrote, while full of myth and speculation, still haunted vamps to the present day. Simon was branded a soulless demon and had been hunted. Eventually, the army that the man assembled caught him, and Simon had been staked out in the early hours of the morning, left to die by the sun. That was when Balthazar had found him. Simon didn't know who he was or why he wanted to help him, but at that moment, bleeding and dying, he didn't care. The demon had saved him, and the only thing he asked in return was for a favor at a later date. Balthazar watched with satisfaction as the vampire remembered just how much he owed him.
I have come to call in that favor, he smiled.
Simon ran a hand over his skull-trimmed hair and took another deep drag of his cigarette. He knew there was no arguing with the demon, and there was no way around doing whatever deed the thing wanted from him.
What do you want me to do?
Chapter 15. Antonio barged into Ash's office and nearly rolled over Mally like a steam truck.
You're not gonna believe this shit, he barked out. It's bad,
he continued when Ash raised a questioning brow at him.
All hell's breaking loose out there.
Out where exactly? Ash asked slowly.
On Earth, Antonio answered. Everyone is doing their best, but damn it if that fucking demon isn't one step ahead of us.
There is too much for just three guards and a few demons to handle.
What's going on?
Ash demanded, standing from his chair and already moving to the room where he kept the mirror. The mirror of the soul allowed him to see anything he wanted, on Earth or in Hell.
I think you should just have a look for yourself, Antonio told him. I don't think you would believe me otherwise.
Ash opened the door, and when his mate joined him, he put his arm around her waist. There were no words needed to know that she had come to lend her moral support and to help in any way she could. The three of them watched as the mirror came to life with one touch from Ash. The first image that appeared was not what Ash was expecting. Where he had expected chaos from the earthquake was replaced with a calm office scene, until five men in suits entered the room.
What will we do about this? One man asked with a heavy Russian accent.
Mr. President, are you sure of this?
Another asked.
This is a great accusation, and we must not act without proof.
I have done my research, the president answered. We are going to withdraw from the comprehensive nuclear test ban. The Americans have already done it, if they even stop their testing at all. They have their peacekeepers in orbit, and we shall send ours up as well.
There is no advantage in being an unarmed target.
As you wish, sir, another man said.
Was that the president of Russia? Antonio asked.
Yep, Ash responded. Did we just witness the start of another Cold War?
I think so.
The image in the mirror changed before their eyes. The scene was vastly different than the first. Snow and ice had been replaced with palm trees and an ocean breeze. Antonio recognized it immediately as his home.
Los Angeles, he breathed. The trio watched in horror as a man of Arabic descent was walking into a stadium. The signage out front indicated that a heavy metal band was playing that night.
His name is Akmir, Ash said to anyone who was listening. No one asked how he knew that information. Because it was Ash, and he just knew things sometimes. Akmir walked across the turnstile and went immediately to the access doors under the seats.
He pulled his phone from his pocket and typed in a few numbers. Then he reached under a shelf and retrieved a small box.
The explosion would be so small that no one would hear it, but the effect it would have on the public would be devastating.
What's in the box? Elizabeth asked softly.
Polio, Ash answered her. It was scary as hell, because humans were no longer vaccinated against an eradicated disease. Somehow, this terrorist managed to uneradicate it and was getting ready to set it loose on the whole of Southern California.
He turned his attention to Antonio. Go, he commanded. Take care of yours.
Antonio nodded and flashed himself away, back to his hometown, and back to his family.
I need Lacey in Russia, Ash said to his mate. Only she can calm the Russian president down and make him see reason.
Already on it, Elizabeth said, her cell phone in her hand.
Ash started to say something else, but it was lost, as the scene in the mirror changed again.
Simon didn't have any trouble keeping his heart rate low and his breathing calm. He had centuries of practice. He didn't like what he had to do, and a part of him knew that there was no coming back from it once it was done. But he had made a deal and was helpless to break it.
Good evening, Captain, the security guard said to Simon as he entered the White House.
Simon nodded at the guard and scanned his badge. The doors clicked open, and Simon walked through the metal detector. The guard inside waved him through, and Simon scanned in for his shift. Years of exemplary service in the military had won Simon a place at the presidential mansion, and now it was going to be his undoing. As Simon entered the locker room, he listened and smelled for anything out of the ordinary, as was his usual routine. Even his boots were extra loud on this night. He typed in his password on his locker, and the door opened. Simon placed his gun and his phone into the proper holsters and slammed the door closed. There was no point in waiting. His life would be forfeited after this, and after a millennia of living, how could Simon demand more? He didn't have the right to. This was going to be the end, and a part of Simon was grateful.
He walked to the boardroom, where he knew the president to be meeting with his advisors, as he did every evening.
Simon pushed open the door and took his place against the wall. The man he was replacing, a wolf shifter, nodded in acknowledgement and left his post to go home for the evening. Simon did as he always had, taking stock of the room and everyone in it. President Obama was in his chair at the head of the table. On either side of him were two Secret Service agents. They hung back a bit, but still they were watchful of everything going on. The man, Derek something, was paying rapt attention to the policies that were on the table that evening. The woman, Kaya, a red-headed sprite of a woman, had her eyes on Simon. There was a sadness in her eyes that no matter how badass she was, it would never leave her. It was the kind of sadness that stained the soul for all eternity. Simon wondered what had happened to this woman to make her so sad down to her bones, and then he realized she was watching him. It wasn't the normal way a woman watches a man. No, she was suspicious of him. Simon sniffed the air covertly to verify what he already knew. She was human. There was no way she could have any idea what he was about to do. It didn't matter. Simon closed his eyes and said a quick prayer for forgiveness before using his vampire speed to unholster his gun. He raised it at arm's length. He didn't hesitate, and he didn't falter. He pulled the trigger. No sooner than he had raised his arm, Kaya was moving. She threw herself in front of the man she had vowed to protect, just as Simon knew she would. The bullet ripped through her shoulder, splashing red on her clothes, and filling the air with the aroma of fresh blood. The bullet missed its mark, though, and the president was unharmed. Simon felt the corner of his mouth twitch, with the satisfaction that even though he had done what he was supposed to do to fulfill the deal with Balthazar, The action did not have the desired effect. A strange sense of calm overtook his body as the other agent placed the barrel of his 9mm against Simon's temple. Just as Simon did, the man wasted no time and pulled the trigger.
What the hell is going on?
Elizabeth breathed in horror. Balthazar, Ash told her. But his plan failed. Simon didn't kill the president, and Kaya has done exactly what she was supposed to do. On that, the demon has failed. The mirror went dark again, and Ash pulled his mate into his arms. I need to go help them, he said.
I know, she answered. Come back to me soon.
She kissed him, and before she could let him go, Ash flashed away from her. River kept herself in mist form while she watched the scenes in the mirror alongside the others. They didn't know she was there, and she preferred it that way. Ash was a good leader, she decided. He was fair and just, but quick to act and precise in his plan. He was everything her father was not, and that was how she knew that he was going to handle everything, and it would all work out in the end. Of course, knowing this did nothing to counter the guilt she felt for not lending her help. It didn't matter. They didn't need her. No one did. River left as silently as she had come, back to her castle, where she was certain she would find the wolf already waiting for her. Chapter 16. River was right. The wolf was in her home. She could feel his presence even stronger than she had before. There was no use in fighting him, though. She knew he would take her back to hell, whether she wanted to go or not. River was confident that her wolf would find a way. How long could she keep running from him? It wouldn't be much longer, and River was tired. She was tired in her body, and she was tired in her mind. Instead of trying to find a way around it, River just jumped right in with both feet. She shoved the doors open on her balcony and entered her home.
Honey, I'm home, she called out.
Lucas appeared in front of her as if by magic, but he didn't look happy to see her. In fact, he looked pissed as he stalked toward her. River couldn't help the shiver of excitement that ran down her spine and turned on the heat in her belly. He was magnificent. His icy blue eyes were focused on her, and her alone, while his body moved forward. He was crouched slightly, as if he were ready to pounce if the need arose. Lucas was tired of playing her games. His woman was going back to hell with him, and this time, he was going to make damn sure she stayed there, where she belonged, with him. He had scented her as soon as she arrived on her balcony, but he waited for her inside. Lucas wanted her to see him coming, stalking her like prey. Lucas moved for her. He closed the distance between them, and when he scented her arousal, his wolf howled in victory. Not only was she coming home with him, but he was going to make her his. Tonight. Now. Lucas didn't say anything, and he didn't ask permission, when he wrapped his arms and his wings around her harshly, and flashed them back to hell. They landed in his sleeping quarters again, and he dropped her unceremoniously on the bed.
I'm not going to tie you up this time, he growled at her, pacing at the foot of the bed. I'm not asking or begging. This time you're going to stay because you want to.
What makes you think? River started, but Lucas interrupted her.
Stop talking,
he demanded before climbing onto the bed, leaning over her and pressing her into the mattress with the weight of his body. She did as he told her, and Lucas's wolf growled his approval. Lucas knew he was coming on a bit strong, but he could do nothing to stop himself. Any human woman would have been afraid of him, but not his woman. She was turned on. Lucas could smell it filling the air and driving his wolf to insanity. Maybe if he hadn't tasted her skin. Maybe if he hadn't touched her. But he had, and he did. Lucas looked down into the bluest eyes he had ever seen, and all he saw was encouragement. She wanted this as badly as he did.
Why did you run? He growled at her.
Lucas expected her to come back with any sort of snarky comment, a smart-ass remark that would merit some irritation or even punishment if he was lucky, but that wasn't what he got from River. Instead of answering him, she grabbed the back of his head and yanked him down to her, shoving her tongue into his mouth. Lucas loved it when a woman took charge, almost as much as he loved being in charge. Her mouth tasted sweet, and with the way her tongue was bossing his around, he was going to be drunk off her in a matter of minutes. He wedged his knee between hers and hiked it up, forcing River to spread her legs and accommodate him in the cradle of her thighs. His weight was supported on his elbows on either side of her head.
so Lucas shifted to move one hand down her side and then down her leg. He rounded the back of her knee and pulled her leg up, wrapping it around his waist. The action brought Lucas's cock in direct contact with her core, separated only by a couple of layers of clothing. Her moan of approval went straight to his cock. Lucas lifted the hem of her shirt and slipped his hand under the thin fabric. His fingers drifted over her stomach and then her ribs, before finding their target. River wasn't wearing a bra, and she didn't need to. Her breasts were perfect, filling his hand exactly the way he wanted them to. She arched her back under him, begging for more of his touch. Lucas found her pebbled nipple and rolled it between his thumb and finger. He dropped his head to kiss her neck, and she moved to allow him better access. He couldn't stop himself from rocking his hips against her heated core. He had to be inside her, and soon, Lucas shoved himself up to his knees and looked down on his treasure. This was his mate, perfect in every way and made especially for him. He growled as the need to see her became too much. Lucas grabbed her shirt and ripped the material down the middle, exposing her perfect skin. He didn't stop there, though. He ripped her pants from her body as well, and then his own cargoes followed. When their clothing was nothing but a memory, Lucas fell back to his mate.
"I can't wait," he warned her. "It has to be now."
"Yes," she purred in his ear, and then she bit his lobe gently. Lucas wiggled his hips until the tip of his erection was directly in line with her slippery folds.
"I will try to," he started.
"Don't," River told him.
"Don't be gentle. I want you. I want all of you. Now."
She dug her nails into the flesh of his back, and that was Lucas's undoing. He thrust his hips forward, entering her completely.
"Oh, yes," River cried out.
"Fuck," Lucas growled. He was buried to the hilt in the softest heat he had ever imagined. He dared not move, for fear that he would come immediately. But River had other ideas. She hooked her legs around his waist and rocked her hips, forcing him to move inside her.
"Oh, baby. Fuck me. This is good,"
he growled as he took the hint and started to move. Lucas tried to go slow. Really, he did. But it was pointless. In a matter of minutes, he was throwing himself into her body, and River loved it. She had one orgasm after another. And finally, he could hold on no longer. Lucas shoved himself as far inside her as he would go, shouting his release. He filled her with his cum and kept going. There was nothing in heaven or on earth that could have made him stop. He pushed into River's body over and over again, shouting her name as he came again and again. Chapter 17. "That was amazing," Lucas said on a contented sigh.
"Yeah, you weren't too bad yourself,"
River told him with a smile. They had made love for hours in every position imaginable. River had always heard that wolves were exceptional in bed, but she had never tried it for herself before. There was a distinct feeling inside her, though, that knew it wouldn't have been like that with just any wolf. "It could always be like this," he told her, turning to his side in order to lay face to face.
"I want you to be here with me. Forever. Just say you'll stay."
He drew soft circles on the exposed skin of her belly while he talked.
"There was something I wanted to tell you."
River turned her head to look at her wolf.
"What is it?" she asked him.
"I need a minute if you want to go again." Lucas chuckled.
"No, that's not it. I mean, I could go again, and I'm up for it, but that isn't what I wanted to tell you."
River turned and propped her head up on her hand.
"Well, spill."
Lucas took a deep breath. This was it. He knew better than to think she would deny him. Mates never did. But there was a first time for everything. All the ways he dreamed of telling her, and he just blurted it out.
"You're my mate," he said.
River smiled at him.
"I know."
Relief crashed over his body and soul as a genuine smile spread across his face.
"Do you now?"
She nodded and cupped his face. "I have been around a very long time," she explained. "I have seen many find their mates. It is obvious with you. You're protective, overbearing, and I can see the look in your eyes." Lucas scrunched his brow together.
"What look?"
"The over-the-moon happy look," she told him. "Even in the face of everything you and your new family are going through, you are happier than you have ever been in your life. I'm not sure that I am worth it, though." Lucas pushed up from the bed and turned his body.
He crossed his legs and sat there, staring at her. "How in the world could you think that?" he finally asked her. "There is something you don't understand about me," she said, looking anywhere but his eyes. Those beautiful eyes, she couldn't bear the disappointment she knew she would see there. "I'm not as great as everyone seems to think." Lucas rolled his eyes so hard, he was certain they would get stuck looking at the back of his own head. "Not possible." River sat up and placed her hands on her lap, wringing her fingers around themselves. "You know, I am the child of the devil."
"So?
I'm the child of two wolves that can't agree on anything. Mom likes country music and Dad likes rock and roll. They couldn't be two different people. And I am nothing like they are. I don't see what your father has to do with anything."
She pulled a deep, steadying breath into her lungs. She didn't want to tell him what she had been keeping hidden for so long, but if he was truly to be mated to her, he deserved to know.
"I have a darkness inside me," River started. "I can feel it. I keep it pushed down so that it can never escape. It comes from my dad. I only let the light I received from my mother through."
Lucas shook his head.
"So?"
"So," River continued, "if I can't keep that darkness, that evil that lives inside of me, under control, I could become just like him. I hated him. He hated me too. I was never good enough, or I guess I should say that I was never evil enough to suit that son of a bitch. I refused to kill or maim. I wouldn't do his bidding either, and because of my mother's blood, he couldn't make me. That is how I ended up banished. I don't want to ever risk bringing that evil to the surface. That is why I cannot help you close that portal. It would take all of my power, power that I can't... No, I won't let out."
Lucas couldn't stand the self-loathing he heard in his mate's beautiful voice. How could she actually believe that she could ever be evil? She was everything that was right in the world.
"I don't believe that," he told her, lifting her chin and forcing her to look at him. He continued, "You are so much stronger than you give yourself credit for. You have controlled this darkness inside you for so long. You have made it your bitch. You can control it. There isn't an evil bone in your body, and no amount of blood can change that. Evil isn't born, it's made. Your father was made an angel. He chose to become the monster he was, just like you have chosen the angel you have become."
River's eyes misted over with unshed tears. She fought to keep them back, but still, one spilled over. How could this man have so much faith in her? How could he stand to be with her, knowing what she was?
"I'm sorry," she breathed.
"Shh," Lucas breathed into her neck as he pulled her closer.
"If you can't do it, then we will figure out another way."
River nodded and allowed Lucas to hold her tight, but deep down, she knew there was no other way. Chapter 18. "As far as I know, everything is under control for now," Ash told Elizabeth as he pulled her onto his lap at his desk. "Lacey has the Russian president at ease for now, and Antonio managed to contain the virus in L.A., but just barely. Jake is still cleaning up the mess from the quake, but all in all, I think it's been a pretty good day."
"What about the vamp who tried to assassinate Obama?" she asked him, pushing a stray hair out of his face gently with her hand.
Ash shook his head. "I don't think the vamp ever intended to kill him. I don't know how Balthazar is responsible for that, but something tells me that the vampire knew he would be unsuccessful and would die. He seemed at peace with it. Besides, that situation worked itself out. We can't afford to worry over things we can't do anything about."
Elizabeth nodded. "And what about Lucas?"
Ash pressed his lips together tight for a moment before answering his mate. "I think he is adjusting well. Now, if we could just get that woman to cooperate." A chuckle rose from Elizabeth's throat.
"How many cooperative women do we have down here now?"
"None," Ash replied honestly. He shook his head. "I swear this is some kind of test of my patience."
"It may just be," Elizabeth said.
She didn't get to finish her thought because Ash's phone rang. He lifted it to his ear and listened for a moment before slamming it down on his desk. "There's been a breach," Ash snarled as he called his guard to his office. He waited impatiently for everyone to arrive. "Our little band-aid fix on the portal has sprung a leak. The warriors are working double time to contain it. But we have to move before anything else gets out," he said once everyone was present. "Got 12 angels circling it and frying anything that gets out," Antonio chimed in. "But we're going to have to seal it again."
"What are we waiting for?" Jake added.
"Ready when you are," Lacey said. She sent a wave of confidence to her comrades.
"Lead the way," Lucas nodded. "Are you coming?" he asked River.
A huge ball of lead formed in her stomach immediately. She didn't want anything to do with that portal, but how could she let her mate go without her? She couldn't. River nodded. "But only to make sure you stay safe." River had seen the portal in her mind, but that didn't do it justice. It was huge. A column of light rose from the ground skyward, black wisps of demons escaping from it every few seconds. There were several warrior angels nearby, each one quick to use his sword to dispatch any demons who got out.
"Same as before?" Jake asked as Ash nodded. Fire lit in the palms of both men's hands, Jake's orange and Ash's black, before leaping off them and into the ground. The fire trailed across the otherwise pristine meadow to the column, climbing up it and racing toward the sky. The fire circled and enveloped the portal. Lacey joined in, not with fire, but with fear. Even River felt it. The petite angel was using her gift to make any demons afraid to leave the portal. River had to give her props. That was a formidable power to have. Lucas wasn't sure what to do. He had known about the portal, but to see it up close and personal left him absolutely gobsmacked. It was beautiful and horrifying at the same time. He didn't even know what to do to help. He had known that Jake had the ability to use fire and that Lacey could influence or even control emotion. But what did he have? "You have your wolf," River told him, as if she could read his mind. "Call him." Lucas wasn't sure how it would help, but he did as his woman said. He called his wolf forth and immediately felt the familiar popping and stretching of his bones. The animal took control, and the first demon he saw, Lucas had his teeth in it. He shredded escaping demons as fast as he could, moving without a thought from one to the next. It was complete chaos, and Lucas found himself praying for a solution to the problem. River watched as her wolf jumped into the fray without a thought of his own safety. "He's going to get himself killed," she thought to herself. The thought was more painful than she cared to admit. She didn't want him killed, or hell, even injured. There had to be a way to protect him, and River knew what she had to do. Very quietly, she added her own power to the mix that was surrounding the portal. The flame solidified and encased the opening to hell once again, but this time, with her magic involved, it appeared to be crystallized. The hemorrhage of demons stopped instantly, and the smoke from the fires dissipated. Quietly, from the sidelines, River flicked her fingers at a stray demon here or there, her belly filling with satisfaction as they disintegrated into ash on her command. She had forgotten how good it felt to smite demons. The thought brought her up short. Smite? She didn't smite. She wasn't her father. River closed her eyes and shook her head as her heart filled with shame. What had she been thinking? She had to leave. Now. A part of her wanted to run back to her home on Earth, but she knew she wouldn't be staying there very long. No, that wasn't her home anymore. Home was where the heart lived, and hers wasn't in that castle anymore. She flashed herself away to the place that had taken over the spot she called home. Lucas snarled as he dispatched yet another demon within the vise of his jaws. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw River helping. He saw how effectively she could handle these demons, and his heart swelled with pride. Of course, his mate would be strong. But all of a sudden, he felt her pull away. He looked over long enough to see her hang her head and then disappear. Well, shit. He supposed he was going to have to go get her again. "What was that?" Antonio asked after the last demon had been taken care of. "I thought no one would dare defy you, not after the show you put on in the caves." He walked up to Ash and wiped the sweat from his brow. "That," Ash answered, "was River. She was helping until she realized what she was doing." He shook his head. "Why won't that woman just get over it already?" Lucas growled and shifted back to his human form. "She's afraid," he told them, "and I don't know how to change that." Ash looked around at the now quiet meadow. "Well, she is a hell of a lot stronger than she wants us to believe." "Don't I know it," Lucas agreed. "Go to her," Ash told him. "Talk to her." "She's my mate," Lucas blurted out. He didn't know why he felt the need to tell Ash that bit of information, but there it was, just the same. Ash smiled. "I know," he said. "It became fairly obvious after your first encounter with her." Lucas only nodded. How could he ever convince River that she was strong enough?
brave enough. And why was he channeling Winnie the Pooh? "I'm going after her," he finally said. The other guards nodded, and Lucas flashed himself to her castle. He didn't bother trying to conceal his presence or sneak up on the woman. It didn't matter anyway, because as soon as Lucas entered the building, he knew she wasn't there. Even Lucas had not marked her. He could sense her. Honing his senses, Lucas focused on his mate. It surprised him how easily he knew where to find her. She was in hell, in his room. She had gone back to wait for him. She was coming around, even if she wasn't willing to admit it. With a satisfied smile, Lucas flashed himself back to hell. Chapter 19. "Honey, I'm home," Lucas called out to his empty bedroom, repeating the word she had used for him before. He knew River was there. He could smell her. Her scent permeated every inch of the room, invaded every fiber of his bedding, of his clothes. But not only could he smell her, his wolf could sense her. There was a shuffling in his private bath, and then the door opened. Fresh hot steam rolled out through the open doorway, smelling of soap and shampoo. And then his woman came through. Her long black hair was twisted up in a towel on top of her head, and she was wearing a soft bathrobe. Lucas's body leapt to attention immediately, and he had to trample down the urge to throw her on his bed and make love to her again and again. "I'm sorry I left so suddenly," she said softly, pulling the towel from her hair and allowing it to all fall around her shoulders. She produced a brush and began pulling it through her tresses. "When did she bring her things to this place?" Lucas wondered silently. "I hope you don't mind. I brought a few things from home," River continued as if he had spoken his thought aloud. "Of course not," Lucas told her. "This is your home." River looked down at the floor and released a sigh. "I know." She sounded so sad, so lost, that Lucas couldn't stand it. "I kinda thought that was a good thing," he told her. "But you don't sound that enthused." River turned her bluer-than-blue eyes to him. The pain they conveyed shot straight to his soul and broke his heart. "I'm not what you think I am," Lucas snorted. "No, I saw what you were doing out there today," he reminded her. "You're a whole fucking lot more than you want me to know. But what you don't understand is, I already know everything I need to know about you. You are strong and powerful, but you have a definite sense of right and wrong. It's why your father could never control you." "I gave up that kind of power when I left here," she reminded him. "Then get it back," he said matter of fact. "It's not that easy," she snorted. Lucas opened his mouth to argue, but someone knocked on his door. "Yeah," he shouted, his irritation showing in his voice. "Ash wants us all in his office," Jake's voice returned. "Now." Lucas scrubbed his hand over his short hair. "We're not done yet," he told his mate. "But for now, we gotta go." "Me too?" she asked, secretly hoping the answer was no, but knowing it wasn't. "Especially you," Lucas said. "I can't force you to help us, but the others, they deserve to know why." River nodded her head in defeat and followed Lucas out of his room. They walked the halls of hell in silence all the way to Ash's office. Lucas pushed on the heavy doors and they opened easily for him. River knew that they would not have if Ash had not been expecting them. "I'm glad you finally made it," Ash said through gritted teeth. "We have a major fucking issue right now." Lucas and River joined the others on the far side of the room while Ash paced in front of his desk. "The portal is under control for now, but the demons who have escaped are causing more damage than we can handle. There's just too many of them. Innocents are being harmed, even killed at an alarming rate. And I fear if we don't stop it right now, then there isn't going to be an Earth to protect." He looked pointedly at River. "We need some powerful enough to close it, and close it for good." "I can't help you," River explained. "I wish I could. Before, I would have had the power to close the portal, but without my powers, I just can't." Ash raised an eyebrow at her. "Is there some way to return your powers?" River knew exactly what he was asking of her and what it would entail. There was no need for her to explain her reasons for not wanting to embrace the evil within her. He already knew. They all did. Lacey placed a reassuring hand on her shoulder. "You know what you have to do," she said softly. "It will be okay. We're all here for you." River shook her head. "What if it goes wrong? What if I become the thing I hate the most? What if I truly become my father's daughter?" Lucas couldn't stand to see the torment in her eyes. "You are also your mother's child. She wasn't evil, was she?"
I don't think so, River answered him. But I never knew her. I don't even know her name. All I know is what my father told me.
I know you, Lucas reminded her. There isn't an evil bone in your body. Your father knew it too. That's why he banished you. Because you would have been his undoing.
Please, Ash said quietly, we all need you.
All of you, Lucas agreed.
River nodded her head once. If this goes wrong, I want you to all promise me that you will stop me, by whatever means necessary.
She made eye contact with each member of the elite guard.
It won't come to that, Lucas said, taking her in his arms.
I know it won't.
Promise me anyway, she demanded.
Lucas closed his eyes.
Damn it. How could he promise to kill her?
I promise, he whispered.
He knew that he would give her anything, and he would protect her at all costs, even if it meant taking her life, so that she wouldn't be the evil she feared living inside her. And then he let her go. River closed her eyes. She had buried her father's blood so deeply within her that it took her a minute to find it, but it was there. Once she found it, it pulsed and writhed like a separate life force within her own body. It was dark and menacing, begging her to come to the other side. Could she really embrace it, bring it into her soul and let it mingle with the divine blood of her mother? Did she really have a choice? Lucas watched as his mate summoned all of her courage and strength. He was afraid for her, but he knew she was stronger than she believed. It was one of the many things he loved about her. Loved. Damn. He had known she was his mate, and he knew that meant that they were meant to be together, but love hadn't crossed his mind. Somehow, in the middle of everything, River Styx, daughter of the devil himself, had stolen his heart. The knowledge made his heart swell, and his wolf yipped in agreement, which made him love her all the more. He didn't just love her, though. He admired her. She was strong and smart, witty and pure. She was the embodiment of everything good in the world, and he couldn't imagine a world without her. He had to tell her. He couldn't let her go any further without her knowing.
River, wait, he said, coming to her and pulling her body against his. I have to tell you something.
River looked up at him with fear in her eyes.
What is it?
Lucas drew in a deep breath.
I know this is going to be fine. I know it.
Want to know how? He didn't wait for her response and kept talking.
I know because you make me a better man just by being near me. I am stronger with you. I am lighter with you. You make the sun shine for me and the wind blow. You are everything that is good in the world, and no amount of ancestry can change who you are inside. I love you. With my whole heart and soul, I love you.
River felt the tears gathering in her eyes. That damn stray wolf gave her strength that she didn't know she possessed. He made her believe she could be anything, including good. He made her believe that he loved her, just like she loved him. She opened her mouth to say as much, but the second she admitted to herself that she could handle the evil within, her body took over. River threw her head back and screamed as her body went into upheaval. It felt like every cell of her body split apart and reformed. The air itself growled like the approach of a tornado, and a wind that came from nowhere surrounded her, threatening to carry her away. But she didn't move, because Lucas had his arms around her.
I won't let you go, he shouted. I'm staying with you, just like you're going to stay with me.
River could feel the love emanating from her man, and his strong arms grounded her as everything she thought she was changed. Her blood roared in her veins, rushing to meet itself and pass again. Her heart thundered and threatened to explode, right from her chest. Her back arched and her feet left the ground, but still Lucas held on. And then it was quiet, too quiet. River realized her eyes were closed, and she kept them that way for fear of what may have happened. She took mental inventory of her body and found that she still had all of her limbs. She felt her heart return to normal. She could also feel the beat of Lucas's heart. He had her trapped in the circle of his arms against his chest. She had done it.
Oh, wow, Lucas heard Lacey say.
He peeled his eyes open and looked down into River's face. Her eyes were closed tightly, but she was there. Her angelic face was as beautiful as ever, and then he saw what everyone else saw. He kept his hands on her, but moved back to hold her at arm's length. Her eyes opened, and Lucas gasped. Her eyes were the same, but different. The color was off, but only slightly. Where they had once been a deep sapphire blue, now they were somewhat lighter, and there was a light golden ring around the irises. But that was not where the differences stopped. River had wings. He had known that, but she kept them hidden so well that he doubted anyone had ever seen them. "What?" she asked him. "Did I grow horns?" Lucas shook his head and pointed to the mirror. River moved to see what he was talking about and was shocked by what she saw. Her wings, that used to be white, were different. The color reminded her of real pearls. They were mostly white, but when she turned, they shifted from white to gray, to a color that could almost be called pink. It was faint, but it was there. And then there were the golden feathers that were sparsely scattered throughout. They shimmered as she moved them, and seemed to be alive by themselves. She could feel the raw power pulsing beneath her skin. Power she had never allowed herself to feel, for fear of what she might become. She had been afraid before, but now she was not. "You have lived your life as half a person," Ash said to her. "Now you are whole. Now you are who you were always meant to be." River nodded. She felt whole, and she had Lucas to thank for it. She brought her two halves together and gave her the strength to face her fears. She had been alive before he stormed into her life, but she might as well have been dead, a walking corpse. She may have had a heartbeat, but she wasn't living. Life was something that was just passing her by. Lucas came along and pulled her up out of her self-inflicted prison and brought her back to life. Hell wasn't her home. Lucas was. He was her reclamation to life and to love. He was her perfect other half, and she knew right then she would spend all of eternity making sure he knew it. But first, business. "All right, then. We have a portal to close. Let's do it." And then she flashed herself away. "I like your mate," Jake grinned at a still gaping Lucas. "Me too, brother," Lucas agreed. "Me too." Chapter 20. The scene at the portal was something out of a nightmare. Lucas expected to see the warriors, but he had not expected the SEAL team of humans. No, he corrected himself upon further inspection. Not all humans. There were three humans, two wares, and a vampire. The warrior angels were still there, but invisible to anyone who was not an angel themselves. "Fuck," Ash snarled as they flew high in the sky above. "I knew it would happen eventually, but I had hoped we could handle this before the humans caught wind of it. With all the chaos going on in the human world, it was no surprise that the human military had decided to check it out. Unfortunately, Balthazar had kept Ash and his team so busy that they weren't able to stop it. The humans probably had no idea what they had found in that meadow, but they had found it and sent the best of the best to check it out. Ash feared that the government had unknowingly sent the SEAL team to their deaths. "This does complicate things," Jake agreed. He wished his mate was with him. Even though she had been freed from her cage, Shelley stayed behind to watch over Hell and to watch the witch. "How are we going to send them packing?" "I got it," Lacey said as she swooped down to their level. She was careful to keep herself invisible as she approached. She didn't make it all the way down, though, before a vicious roar filled the evening air. "Balthazar," she growled under her breath. She concentrated on the humans. "Leave now! Fear this place! Run for your own lives!" She watched as the humans ran, but the wares and vampire did not. "Fucking seals," Lucas snarled. "They would walk into hell willingly, no matter the consequence." "Isn't that what they're trained to do?" River asked. "Can't fault them for that. We're just gonna have to protect them."
"Why look?" Balthazar grinned when he materialized. "Now the living are trying to shut me down. I do love a good party."
He snapped his fingers, and 20 of his demons appeared at his side. The seals paused, looking confused, but then started forward again, marching into their demise. "River, get the portal," Ash commanded. "The rest of you are with me. We take this bastard down once and for all." River shot off to the portal and landed only a few feet from it. She focused on blocking out the fighting that she could hear, knowing that her mate was strong and would be okay. She had to. She needed all of her energy to close this massive hole in the fabric between realms. She held her hands out to her sides and called on the ancient power in her blood. Ash swung his sword at everything that came at him.
demon blood coated the blade as he forced his way to the one demon he had to eradicate. Balthazar laughed and produced more. How many fucking demons had this son of a bitch gathered? It seemed he had a never-ending supply. He watched out of the corner of his eye as Antonio and Lucas did the same thing, all of them moving toward one single target. Lacey was using her powers to confuse the demons, and Jake had called his fire to dispense of them. Their screams filled the night air, and black smoke rose into the clouds. Lacey's attention turned to the seals that were firing their guns at the demons. That would not help. If they were going to stay, she needed to help them. She tossed her sword down, and one of the wares picked it up. She allowed herself to be seen long enough for the wolf to know where it had come from, and when he nodded, she winked out of sight again. She poured courage into their souls, and knew that they would need it if they were to survive. Lucas changed into his wolf, doing as Lacey had done and surrendering his blade to the wares. He bounded forward in wolf form, ripping and shredding demon flesh as he went. He was close, almost close enough that he could get Balthazar in his jaws and literally rip that fucker a new one. Rage fueled his movements, and the instinct to protect his fellow military men kept him going forward. River felt the power growing inside her, and she forced it from her body to the tips of her fingers. She let it out, flowing from her to the portal. Her magic surrounded the huge column like a blanket of mist, swirling around it and encasing it. River concentrated harder. She didn't just want it closed, she wanted it destroyed. Blocking out the sound of death and battle, River pushed harder. The guards had surrounded it with powerful magic, and she would have to break through that before she could even attempt the portal. As the magical band-aid began to melt away, River could feel her power draining, but still, she pushed on. Once the guard's magic was gone, the portal was hers to control. Her father would have allowed it to rip wide open again. So would any number of demons, but she wasn't like them. She reminded herself. She was her own person, and she was going to destroy it. She funneled her anger at her father for not loving her the way she was. She was angry at her mother. How could she just abandon River? She was angry at Balthazar for putting her mate in danger, and for forcing her to call her magic in the first place. All of this barreled out of River's soul and into the portal. River smiled when she heard the crackling that would be the beginning of the end for this unnatural doorway and for Balthazar. Lacey heard the crackling noise coming from the portal and pointed at it. Ash nodded and smiled. She was doing it. River was going to destroy the portal. "Now, Lacey," Ash commanded. Lacey focused her energy on Balthazar, forcing any and every emotion she could fathom into him. He was confused, and his eyes met hers immediately. The black irises accused her, and Lacey knew that he knew she was the one responsible. She pushed harder. The crackling got louder. Ash, Lucas, Jake, and Antonio moved in. The crackling became a crunching noise. Ash raised his sword. Balthazar stood still, stunned by the onslaught of raw emotion he was forced to feel. The crunch became louder. The earth shook beneath their feet. The seals stopped in their tracks. Time stood still for a moment, and then the portal began to glow with white light. There was a heartbeat of total silence. Balthazar looked at the portal with disappointment, and then flashed himself away. Lucas looked to his mate, standing next to the portal with her arms out wide. Knowing what was about to happen, he lunged for her, shifting to his human form. "River!" he shouted. And then, all hell broke loose. The air itself seemed to ignite as the portal exploded. Time slowed to a crawl as a mushroom cloud raced into the sky. A circle of raw energy moved out from the portal, incinerating everything in its path. "Run!" Ash shouted, but he didn't know if anyone heard him. Even he was not fast enough to escape the blast. He thought of his mate, his Elizabeth, and wondered if he would ever see her again. Lacey raced for the seals, but she wasn't fast enough. "Run!" she shouted. The vampire looked to her, and recognition lit his face. "Miss B!" he breathed just before the energy overtook him. "Jamie, no!" Lacey shouted before the blast took her, too. Antonio grabbed Jake's arm, and flashed them both to a safe distance, where they watched as their leader was knocked back, and then hidden by the smoke. They watched in horror,
as the SEAL team was burned where they stood, leaving only scorch marks in their place. Then, time sped up again, and the portal collapsed on itself. Demons were dragged into it by a force unseen, as well as anything else that was too close. The demons spun around the portal and were sucked in, like a black hole. And then, the light disappeared, and it was black. It grew smaller and smaller, until finally it winked out of existence completely. The complete and total silence that followed was deafening. "Dear God," Antonio said, as he surveyed the damage. The once green meadow was scorched black. Trees had fallen and burned to ash, and everything was covered in a thick layer of dirt and debris. "What do we do now?" Jake asked. Antonio sighed. "Now we clean up." Chapter 21. "Ash!" Jake shouted as he flashed to his leader's body. The angel was lying on the ground, still as death. Jake skidded to a stop and grabbed at Ash's shoulders. "Wake up, man," he shouted. "Please be alive. Fuck me, please be alive." There were many things that Jake could handle, but the loss of his leader was not one of them. Ash had seen something in Jake worth saving and gave him another chance. The man was more to him than a leader. He was a brother. He just had to live. Jake shook him harder. Ash groaned as he came to consciousness, and then, like turning on a light, he was fully aware and shot to his feet. Black fire erupted all over his skin, and his eyes blazed red. "Where is he?" Ash snarled, looking around furiously. "He's gone," Jake told him, relief filling his voice as he sat back on his haunches. "Dead?" Ash demanded. Jake shook his head. "No, he got away." "Fuck," Ash bellowed. "Where is everyone else?" "Whoa, man," Antonio said gently. "Calm down just a little bit. We need to make sure the others are okay." Ash pressed his lips together and forced himself to calm. He wished that Lacey would help him, and this time, he would have let her. "Speaking of which, where is Lacey?" "Got her," Jake shouted as he ran to the angel in question. He lifted her into his arms and called to Ash. "She's unconscious, but alive." Ash nodded and went to Lucas. He shook the soldier until his eyes fluttered open. "On your feet, soldier," he commanded, and Lucas sluggishly did it. He forced himself up and shook the confusion from his mind. "River!" he shouted, when the fog cleared and ran to where the portal used to be. His mate, his beautiful mate, was lying on the cold ground. Her incredible wings had been burned down to mere stubs at her back, and were bleeding slowly. "Oh God, baby, I'm so sorry." He hated himself at that moment. He had convinced her to help, and now she was hurt. Lucas could feel the soft rise and fall of her chest as he lifted her into his arms, but that did nothing to calm the storm of guilt that built in his chest. "This is my fault," he whispered. He was grateful that she was alive, but Lucas didn't ever want one single hair on her head hurt, and now look at her. What had he done? "Let's get the girls home," Ash said, his anger taking a back seat to the safety of his guard. "Then we're going to find that bastard and end him once and for all." Antonio and Jake nodded, and Lucas fell in behind them as they flashed themselves back to hell. "Ash!" Elizabeth cried out as her mate appeared in their room. Ash didn't say anything, but scooped his mate up into his arms and covered her lips with his own. He punished her mouth with his, claiming her once again as his own. When he finally allowed her to breathe, there were tears in her eyes. "We watched," she told him. "From the mirror, we saw everything." "It's okay now," he told her, pulling her closer. She gripped the back of his hair in her fists and yanked his mouth back to her own. Ash had experienced true fear of never seeing her again. In that moment, when he had been unsure if he would live or die, he saw her face. He remembered the first time he saw Elizabeth in that human hospital. She had saved his life and then saved his soul. She was more than his savior. Elizabeth Roan was his salvation, and he didn't plan to ever let her out of his sight again. Jake handed Lacey's limp body over to Antonio before walking into Greed. Shelley was there waiting for him. "You son of a bitch," she growled at him. "How dare you put yourself at risk like that?" "Baby," he said softly, "it's my job, and I'm fine." "I can see that now," the demon shouted at him. "I have been worried sick for you. I can promise you this. I'm never going to be the stay-at-home little lady ever again. I am a fucking demon, and I am not helpless.
I am not a little housewife, and I will not be treated as such.
Jake smiled as he watched his beautiful mate cross her arms over her chest, her fiery locks draped over her shoulders, and fire lit her eyes. She was every bit as magnificent as the day he had met her. She had been slow to come to the conclusion that Jake was her mate, but man, he was glad she did. Shelley had been the keeper of greed, and his name had been on her list. Now, the only lure the realm held for him was Shelley. She was more than his mate. Even though it had not been her intention, she had brought him up from the weight of his sins and gave him a reason to live his life better than before. She was his redemption, and Jake would never forget it. He closed the distance between them and kissed the fight out of her. Yes, next time, she would be by his side. Antonio didn't get all the way to the entrance of Wrath before Liam was out of the realm and taking Lacey from his hands. "Is she?" he asked with a slight tremble in his voice. "No," Antonio reassured him, "but she needs time to rest and heal now." Liam nodded and stared into the angel's eyes, silently portraying his thanks. Then he took his precious cargo to their shared room. Liam kicked the door open and then closed it again with his heel as they entered. He gently placed Lacey on the bed and stretched his long body out beside her. He had never realized how relieving it could be just to watch someone breathe. Her face was dirty and bruised, and Liam was sure the rest of her would be too, under her clothes. Her magnificent wings were also dirty, the iridescent color almost completely replaced with blood and dirt. Otherwise, Lacey appeared to be intact. Liam didn't dare wake her, knowing that angels could heal themselves given time, so instead, he stayed still beside her. He stroked her face gently and brushed her blonde hair away from her face. "Please," he whispered, "please let her heal." Liam prayed silently to God and hoped that he was listening. Lacey was so much more than his woman. She thought that Liam was her saving grace, that he was the one who taught her to live with her sins, but that wasn't true. At least, it wasn't the whole truth. Lacey had done so much more than love Liam. She had shown him what it truly meant to live and to play. She taught him to trust, and most of all, she taught him to love. She was nothing less than his absolution, and he would do whatever it took to make sure she stayed with him. Lucas flashed directly to his sleeping quarters in hell with River in his arms. His wings twitched desperately at his back, demanding that he do something, anything. His wolf was in complete agreement, but as a man, Lucas didn't have a clue what to do for her. He started by lying her gently on the bed. He was careful of River's wings, or rather, what was left of them, and laid her on her side. With his lips pressed together, Lucas searched for a place to start. His mate was bloody and dirty from head to toe. Never had he seen her with even one hair out of place, much less in the condition she was in. He had a distinct feeling that if she were conscious, the first place River would go would be the bath. That was where he would start then. Lucas looked around for a pair of scissors and was surprised when a pair just appeared in his hand. "That's right," he thought. "Angels always have whatever they need." He used the newly acquired shears to carefully cut away at her clothes. They fell in a broken heap around her body. Lucas wasn't about to try and pull the fabric out from under her body. Not yet. He rushed to the bathroom to get a washcloth and a basin of warm water. As carefully as he could, Lucas balanced her body wash, the water, and several towels as he walked back to the bed where his mate lay. Her perfect porcelain skin was marred by cuts and bruises. Lucas felt shame like he had never felt before. This was his fault. He choked back a sob when his eyes caught on her broken wings again. The tears burned the back of his eyes, but Lucas held them in. He knew he had to be strong. For her. He squeezed a small amount of soap into the water and then dipped the washcloth in before wringing the water back out again. Then, Lucas gently began to wipe away the dirt from her skin. He started at her shoulder and worked his way down her arm and then to her fingers. He took great care to get all of the dirt and blood off of his woman, taking extra care around her many wounds. None of them were too big, mainly scratches, but Lucas knew the damage was more than skin deep. He had no idea what kind of damage had been done to her insides. He moved down her body, rinsing and wringing the cloth over and over again, until every inch of her skin that was exposed was clean. Then Lucas moved to her back. He gently wiped her skin between her wings,
flinching as he cleaned the wounds. Why had he gone after her? He could have let her be, and she would be safe. She would be unharmed. Lucas shook his head. They had needed River, and he knew it just like she had. She only embraced her power because of him, though. Surely, if her power was so great, it could heal her as well. He had to stop beating himself up if he was going to continue to help her. Lucas gently moved her body so that he could wash the other side. He knew the sheets were getting wet, but he didn't care. All he cared about was that River was clean when she woke. When Lucas had washed all the outward physical evidence of her pain away, he vehemently wished for clean sheets. The ones on the bed disappeared and were replaced with clean, soft cotton sheets. A comforter appeared folded at the foot of the bed as well. Lucas turned his mate so that she was on her stomach, making sure her face was turned so that she could breathe without putting pressure on her wings. He pulled the cover up to just below her battered wings and then lay down beside her. "Come back to me," he whispered to his mate. "Come back." Lucas must have fallen asleep because he became aware of a feathering touch on his face. He yanked his eyes open and was greeted with sapphire blue eyes that sparkled like blue diamonds. "River," he breathed in relief. "Thank you," she said. Lucas sat up and noted that she was still on her stomach. "Are you okay?" She graced him with a half but genuine smile. "I will be fine. How are you?" Lucas ran his hand over his head. "Scared as fuck," he admitted. "You don't have to be afraid anymore," River told him. "Will your wings grow back?" he asked her, looking pointedly at her back. "I don't know," she answered him honestly. "I don't care. I'm just happy to be here with you." Lucas snuggled back down next to her, as close as he could get without hurting her. "I love you." River smiled at him again. "I have to tell you something," she said. "Anything," Lucas promised. "I know where you were headed when you died," River said in a low voice, almost a whisper. "Oh?" Lucas asked. "Me too. Murder." She shook her head. "No. You were affected by the realm because you believed you belonged there. But really, you were on the fast track to heaven." "How do you know that?" Lucas asked, propping his head up on one arm. "Because I know things too," she said. River was quiet for a moment before she continued. "I wanted you to know that. I know that Ash would never keep you here against your will. If he wanted to go on to your eternity, he would understand. I would understand." Lucas didn't hesitate for even a second. "No way. This is my eternity. Here, with you." "But..." River started, but Lucas interrupted her. "There is nothing that heaven can offer me that would even come close to an eternity with you. I am happy with my little slice of heaven, even if I had to go to hell to find it." River pressed her lips together and commanded the tears to stay at bay. He loved her. No one had ever truly loved her before. It was an incredible feeling, and she knew at that moment that she returned his feelings. Never before had she felt such a strong connection to another being, and never before had she cared so much. "Okay, then," she said, satisfied. "Rest," Lucas told her. "Get better, then we'll talk." River wanted to argue with him, but she was tired down to her bones. "I love you too." She closed her eyes and let sleep claim her once again. Chapter 22. "He's not there," Ash growled at Mally. "Where the fuck is he?" "I don't know, sir," Mally stammered. Ash slammed his fist down on his desk. "Damn it! Did you check upstairs?" Mally didn't have to ask about where upstairs was. He knew Ash was talking about heaven. "I did, sir. He's not there either." "We must find him," Ash shouted. "Why the fuck can't just one thing go right in this motherfucking hellhole?" "Who?" Lacey's soft voice asked. Ash's ire immediately cooled. "Lacey, you're up." The guard nodded. "Feeling a little better. Liam told me what happened. Jamie was there. Why was he there? Is he all right?" Ash forced a deep breath into his lungs. "That's who we're looking for. He was supposed to be at the Wall of Fire, but he isn't. And he isn't in heaven either." "Oh, no," Lacey whispered. "This is my fault." "No, it isn't," Ash told her. "He was supposed to die and become one of us. But damn it if I can't find him." "What can we do?" Lacey asked, forcing her emotions under control. "You can stay here and continue to heal," Ash said. "Antonio and I will go looking for him. If we're lucky, we'll find Balthazar as well. If we do, Lord help his demon ass."
"He will come for me eventually," Shelley added. "I know he will." She knew her father would blame her for his failure. She knew that he wouldn't hesitate to use her as bait or as leverage, and the guard would pay the price. "We can deal with that when the time comes," Ash told her. "All the demons are back where they belong, except him, and the portal is gone. Not just closed, but destroyed. River did it. That woman fucking did it."
"She is pretty amazing," Lacey agreed. "How is she doing?" she asked, taking a seat. She was so tired, but she had to know how the others were. Had to know they were okay.
"She's healing," Ash said. "Lucas is with her." Lacey wanted to ask more, but the pull of sleep was getting too strong to resist. She was saved from admitting it, though. Ash's head cocked to the side, and it seemed as if he were listening to something no one else could hear. "Seriously? Now?" he grumbled to no one in particular. "I gotta go," he said just before flashing himself away, leaving the others to stare at the empty space where he had been. Chapter 23. Kaya stumbled out of the kitchen, carrying the bottle of vodka by its neck in one hand, and her glass in the other. When she bumped sideways into the wall, the clear liquid sloshed over the top of her glass. Kaya didn't stop to clean it up, but continued to make her way down the hallway. She finally arrived in the kitchen, and she went directly to the refrigerator. She opened it, not expecting to see anything worth eating in it, but she looked anyway. Moldy cheese and a half-eaten ham sandwich were all that was inside. She slammed the door closed and went over to the sink. She downed the last of the vodka in her glass and rinsed it out under running water. Then she refilled it. Kaya hadn't been sober and longer than she cared to admit. At first, she drank to dull the pain she felt every day. Over time, the alcohol lost its numbing effect, and she drank more to try to get the same feeling. When that didn't work, she added Xanax to the mix. Now, she walked around her home in a constant zombie state. She didn't go out except for when she was out of booze, and her doctor had long since stopped prescribing the pills. Now, she had a guy who delivered to her door. Hell, he delivered the pills, and sometimes he even brought the vodka with him, too. She didn't ask him where he got them, and she paid him well. They had a mutual understanding. She didn't ask questions, and he didn't judge her. It was the only human interaction she had anymore, and that was minimal at best. Kaya didn't have a house payment anymore, and she really didn't have any bills. The insurance policy had paid them all off, and she still had a hefty sum left in her bank account. Add to that the settlement from the insurance company, and Kaya would never have to work again. Not that the money did her any good. Who would she spend it on? There was no one left for her to dote on. She had enjoyed her life before. She was a Secret Service agent, and she was good at her job. She even received a medal for her services, shot right in the shoulder one day by a bullet that was meant for the president. Kaya hadn't even thought about it. She just threw herself in front of the man she had sworn to protect. She flopped down on the sofa and set her bottle on the end table beside her. She rubbed her shoulder that still ached from time to time. A stroll down memory lane wasn't going to do her any good. She tried every day to keep her mind off that terrible day that ruined her life, but as usual, it came roaring back to the front of her mind. They had been on their way to Orlando for a family vacation. Kaya and her husband pulled their suitcases behind them while Callie ran ahead of them. She had been 6 years old with curly blonde hair and the face of a cherub. The little one had been so excited to go to Disney World. Callie loved princesses and couldn't wait to meet Princess Jasmine when they got there.
"Come on, Mommy. Come on, Daddy," she squealed. "Our magic carpet is about to leave."
The magic carpet was actually a 747 jet that would take them from Washington, D.C. to Orlando, Florida, nonstop. Kai remembered laughing and pulling their luggage faster. They boarded the plane and found their first-class seats easily. Callie bounced up and down on her little butt with excitement as the plane started moving. They took to the air, and eventually Callie fell asleep. Kaya had watched the clouds go by her window and was nearing a nap herself. What they didn't know was that deep in the engine of the plane, an oil seal, something that would seem so insignificant, had torn. They didn't know that oil was leaking at an alarming rate from the broken seal, so much so that it was blocking the pistons from moving properly. The engine finally gave in to its injury. There was a loud thunk, and smoke began pouring from under the wing. Kaya could see it. She could smell it.
The pilot came on the intercom and assured everyone that everything was okay and that even though they lost one engine, they still had three working properly. They would be landing early in Charleston to change planes, though, but the pilot hadn't known just how much oil was leaking. It covered most everything in the engine compartment, including the hinges that controlled the landing gear. She had buckled Callie in her seat tight and held her husband's hand as the plane descended in Charleston. Kaya's knuckles had turned white from the effort she was exerting, but she couldn't loosen her grip on her husband or her daughter. She knew she had to hold on tight to them. The pilot realized too late that the landing gear was malfunctioning. They were dangerously close to the ground, and he tried to pull the nose of the plane back up, but it was no use. The plane slammed into the asphalt at 180 miles an hour. Kaya heard the ripping and crunching of metal a millisecond before the entire body of the plane ripped in two. She held on tight to her family as the plane ripped and rolled out of control. Fire was licking at the seats they sat in, and metal flew through the cabin as the plane disintegrated. A propeller smashed through the side of the plane, narrowly missing Kaya's head. She didn't know which way was up. The cabin had broken and rolled and was bouncing around on the earth like a tin can. There was so much noise, fire. Kaya closed her eyes and said a fast prayer for safety just before the movement stopped. She breathed a sigh of relief and then opened her eyes. Her daughter was gone. She hadn't held her tight enough. In her other hand, Kaya could feel her husband's fingers wrapped around her own. She turned to tell him that they needed to find Callie, only to realize that she was, in fact, holding his hand, but the rest of them had been torn away from her. Kaya choked back the scream that threatened to escape her throat. She hated that memory. She hated that she could still see her husband's hand twitching while the rest of them had been destroyed. She hated that she lived and that her family died. She hated that everyone else on that flight died. She had been the lone survivor, and for what? A lifetime of loneliness and regret. She drank down her glass of vodka and refilled it. She didn't know what God had been thinking when he saved her, and her alone, but she was more certain every day that it was a mistake. How long could she keep living like this? She thought. She was tired. She didn't want to do it anymore. She didn't care anymore. She rubbed the scar on her shoulder. She pulled the bottle of pills out of her pocket. It was a brand new bottle of Xanax. Kaya felt a small smile curve at the corner of her lips. She didn't have to do it anymore, and she wasn't going to. She opened the bottle and dumped the entire thing into her mouth and washed it down with a long swig of vodka. Then she laid herself back on the sofa and waited for the pills to do their job. Epilogue. Kaya felt a stab of disappointment when her consciousness took control of her body once more. She had failed. When the pain she had been fruitlessly attempting to run from came crashing down on her heart once again, Kaya realized something. She was sober. For the first time in months, she was stone-cold sober and completely aware of everything. She could feel every cell in her body, and surprisingly, it didn't hurt. She could also feel that she was lying on a hard floor. It wasn't cold, though. In fact, it was quite warm. She forced her eyelids open, and the first thing Kaya saw was that the ceiling was not the one she was accustomed to waking to in her home. It was dark and barren, smooth like sheetrock. Forcing her elbows under her body, Kaya sat up. When she looked around, she realized she wasn't in her home at all. She was in some kind of cave. When she looked to her left, she saw a wall of fire. Immediately, her survival instincts, that she didn't realize she still possessed, kicked in, and Kaya crab-walked backward until her back hit the wall. She didn't know where she was, but wherever it was on fire. Panic filled her chest, and Kaya struggled to breathe. The flames got brighter, but did not come any closer. Out of the corner of her eye, a shadow moved within the flames. Kaya watched as the shadow moved closer and finally stepped out of the fire. It was no shadow, but the devil himself. Kaya had never believed in heaven or hell, but the proof was standing right in front of her. The man was huge, with an even bigger set of black-as-night wings on his back. She had succeeded in taking her own life, but the goal had been to end her own pain. Now, she realized that she was destined to live with that pain and the consequences of her crime for the rest of eternity. "I am not the devil, so don't go there,"
the man rumbled at her as he came closer. Kaya wished she could disappear from sight, to go back to before she took the pills, but that wasn't happening. I am an angel, and yes, this is hell, the man continued. And before you ask, yes, you belong here. I don't usually know about the soul's final destination at this point, but I know you committed suicide, and that is the one sin you can't ask forgiveness for before death. So let's get the preliminaries over with. I'm Ash. I run things around here, and you have a choice to make. Will you be here as your eternity, paying for your sins, and subjected to many lifetimes of pain? Or will you work for me, doing what you did in life, serving the greater good? Kaya didn't know what to say. It really was a no-brainer, though, wasn't it? She pressed her lips together and thought about what the angel, Ash, said to her. Work for him? I don't really have a lot of time here, he continued. He held his hand out at arm's length. Kaya stared at it for a moment, and then placed her hand in his much larger one. Great, he said, pulling her up to her feet. Welcome to hell. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed Reclamation, The Keepers of Hell, Book 5, written by Danielle James, and read to you by Miles Taylor. Copyright 2016 by Danielle James. Production copyright 2016 by Danielle James.